tonight, we talk indie gaming with our friends from the Sacramento IGDA, as well as discuss big moves in the gaming industry this week as you all gear up for Persona 5 on another week of the show where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with our 682nd episode for this April the 2nd of 2017. And that's no joke. My name is Rob Roberts, here with you in studio as always. Look, April Fool's was yesterday. I am playing with y'all today. We got too big a show tonight to be doing any jokes.
Only people were as cautious every day as they are on April Fool's Day.
Hello, Calamity Jamie. Welcome to the show. Remember, that's my new favorite name for you.
God.
Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers or Calamity Jamie. How are you? It makes me think it's not only just the Ganon thing, but I also think of like Calamity Jane, like the Wild West sort of thing. Like she's an outlaw who don't give a fuck, like that whole type of thing. So I think it's fitting.
Okay.
And you need cowboy boots.
No.
All right. How are you, though, otherwise?
I haven't owned a pair of cowboy boots since I was 10.
Are you feeling better?
I am, but it might be drugs. No, I'm serious.
Legal.
Prescribed. Drugs are bad.
Hi, Gabe.
Hello. How are you?
We're going to get to you in a minute.
He
can't help himself.
I got a shot in the hip of Toradol.
What is that?
It's like ibuprofen, but liquid, and it lasts for a couple of days. Mm. So it's kind of nice just not hurting for a little while. But I also don't know if I passed the kidney stone or not.
I would think it would be pretty obvious.
I think it would be obvious, and I still have the other non-painful symptoms, so whatever.
All right, well, hopefully...
I just, like, I can't get a break.
Hopefully this all passes quickly.
Because I'm still on round... Oh, geez, Rob.
That was a pun.
No more cookies for you.
All right.
I'm going to take this Peeps back.
Not here tonight, Techmaster Loki. There was a medical issue in Loki's family just a couple hours ago. I'm told that it's not... Like, I'm probably making it sound way more serious than it is. But they just, you know, he had to go take care of business. He's actually watching the kids right now because Nelly had to go take care of the other business. So, just thoughts with everybody that everything's going okay, but we do have to be a little more impromptu tonight because we have our whole little show thing ready for Loki to be here, and unfortunately he couldn't be here, obviously, for those obvious reasons. So people need what is the curse of Orange Lounge Radio this year? Jesus, do you guys, I don't know if you know this, my mom had surgery this week. She had a knee replacement surgery on Wednesday.
How's she recovering?
She's fine. I just went and saw her today, so she's good. But she was asking about, I don't know why she asked me about this. She was asking about Richard Simmons because Richard Simmons.
There was that article about.
Yeah, it was in People, right? Yeah. And so my mom, that's the person that's still subscribing to People magazine is my mom. So she was asking about the podcast. So I actually got out her iPad mini and I subscribed to Missing Richard Simmons on her iPad. By the way, I want to point something else out. My mother was not subscribed to Orange Lounge Radio, so you know I subscribed her to that too, even though I don't know if she should be hearing this, but...
Hi, Rob's mom!
Hi. Hope you're feeling better.
I still think we should call my mom sometime.
We have before. It's been years.
Yeah,
we have
once, and then she told the story about condensation.
Yeah. Oh my god. All right. Do you remember what episode number that was? Because you gotta go way back.
I don't remember what episode number this one is.
682.
Okay, whatever.
All right. Anyway, so not here tonight, Techmaster Loki. We'll see him in a couple of weeks. We're actually not gonna be here live next week because we're gonna be very busy on Saturday, and that's thanks to our special in studio guests. I wanna welcome back to the show some old friends now of Orange Lounge Radio. They've been here enough times that we can call them old friends. Friends of the show.
Duh.
Say hello to Gabe from Sacramento IGDA.
Ladies first.
Oh, and his partner in business crime, Bree.
Hi.
Hi. Except everything is legal. There's no actual crimes being committed, just to be clear.
Allegedly.
That we know of. All right, anyway. As Bree's thumbing through the book.
And crickets enter the room.
All right. So, Sacramento IGDA, you guys are putting on this big event in West Sacramento. This coming Saturday,
mm-hmm.
give us the elevator pitch, the 60-second pitch that I'm sure you've had to give 5,000 times this week, Mister. My dad said he saw you on Good Day Sacramento, and all this stuff. By the way,
while
I was there, that was another thing. You go, oh, I saw some guy on Good Day Sacramento. I don't remember his name, but he was talking about this indie or a game thing. It was if it was a guy, it was Gabe. If it was a gal, it was Brie. Like it was one of them. So Give us the 60-second pitch you've been given all over the town.
Oh, there's never consistency with my message. It's just it comes down to one thing. Mm-hmm. This is our fourth annual event, and it is Sac Indie Arcade is a celebration of independent game development here in Sacramento and really spreading wildly throughout the region, the valley, and beyond that. And it is the core purpose of the Sac Indie Arcade is essentially you're going to play. You're going to learn, you're going to be inspired by what you know, from both playing and learning. The idea here is that we don't have a job market here. We didn't have a job market for game development, period. EA is here. We don't know what they're doing. And they're not making an impact at all within our community. And that's fine. So that
it's all secrets. Of course. It's all secrets.
It's one brick wall with windows, and they're outside an alleged pizzeria.
Next door to the gay bar.
Right. True story. Right next door to Faces. That's convenient.
We camped out right by that building. I didn't even realize it was their building until I went back to my car when I was there for the Sacramento Rainbow Festival.
I thought we tried to take pictures with the shepherd that was in the window at one point. They used to have a Commander Shepherd cutout. Was that you? Maybe it was
that
Shane.
That wasn't me.
It might have been Shane.
Because I look so much like Shane.
You Mass Effect fanboys are all the same.
Okay. Yay, Mass Effect. Anyway, so the idea is that, you know, and of course, with due respect to EA, thank you for Unravel. We appreciate it, but we still don't.
Thank you for being in Sacramento.
Yeah, thank you for being in Sacramento.
Even if y'all are bunkered in there, we don't know what y'all are doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, seriously. But either way, you probably have to pay DLC to go in the front door. I digress. Anyway,
don't burn your bridges.
Where's the shade sound, Rob?
Where's my shade button?
You need the shade button.
I didn't think.
I'm so sorry. No, but seriously,
I didn't think I'd need it with Gabe here.
No. I'm so sorry. Now, I mean, all half jokes aside, the idea here is that, you know, we're nurturing and strengthening and empowering this community to feel like that their dream can come true, their idea can become something more, and it's gonna get played by your local neighbor and then some. And we're approaching the fourth year of it, and it has been incredible. I'm already more nervous than excited about the turnout for this weekend, because I've already seen numbers, and oh my god. So yeah, it's
But that's the good.
No,
kind.
No, it's
like,
great.
Like,
no,
how are these people going to fucking fit?
But that's what we're here for. You know,
call the food trucks, get people outside as much as possible.
Fortunately, we won't have that issue this time. We're going to have there's going to be a cafe in the venue.
Oh yay!
So you'll be able to buy stuff.
Yeah, oh, I just meant with the food trucks, you can get people outside.
Oh, that's true.
BlizzCon did that a while ago, and it was really good for them because it gets people outside, and you know, the whole thing.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true too. But fortunately,
I remember. Hoofing it to the subway across the street last year.
You still have those options. But that's essentially what Sac Indie Arcade is all about, and it's defined by our people. It's not defined by me. It's not defined by Brianna. It's, you know, we host. You know, we come up with ways to keep improving on how we did the year before, and you know, continuous outreach. But it is defined by the people that come through.
It is absolutely defined by Dark Sakura, or else we will all face her reign of terror. That's really what it. No, I'm kidding.
Bang bang.
All right, but no. When you say, and I want the audience to know this, and I realize that our audience is not like maybe 2% of our listeners are in Sacramento, like if that. Like most of our listeners, we have listeners in Japan, we have listeners in Australia, we have listeners in Canada. So not everybody's going to be able to attend this event.
Belgium.
We have listeners in Belgium. How could I forget the chocolate? How could I forget? But anyway, so you know, luckily we'll be able to do the virtual thing and, you know, bring some of this to you virtually. Although if you are like anywhere, like if you're within 100 miles of Sacramento, you really should be trying to come here in person.
Right. And we are going to have some out of staters again this time.
Good.
In fact, we got hit with some international game developer submissions as well.
Yay.
We got hit with some international game developers.
Canada
as well.
Or Mexico? Or?
No, I mean like Singapore.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like Singapore, the UAE, Australia, Italy, Russia. Yeah,
good
we got
you.
Yeah. So I mean, whether they actually show up or not is another thing. But the fact that they even heard how they heard about us is beyond me.
But list somewhere.
Yeah, indeed. But yeah, so you know, it's, you know, word is spreading out like wildfire. So, now again, you know, I mentioned Bree and you know her two cents in this. So you know, what Bree, why don't you share your thoughts on this expand.
Thanks, partner.
Welcome.
I'd like to say, you know, with you touching on your international audience, we are proud to say, I think we've established that we are California's capital city that has their very first video game event to be proud of. Because California is the fifth largest economy in the world. Why didn't Sacramento have something like that already established? So thanks to Orange Lounge Radio for helping us grow and setting a precedence here, we are able to say that we've had international game studios submit and then figure out that, oh, they're in Sacramento. It's kind of close to San Francisco. Like, should we come up? So,
oh my God. Well, heck, it's just a natural fit. Indie is just a natural fit. We're so happy to be involved because I think we've been able to really see the growth. It's kind of like you said, like for a long time, you just kind of thought like, oh, EA has an office here, even though we're not sure what they do. But otherwise, like, you don't really see a lot of the game development in Sacramento. But now it's like, you know, especially in large parts of this event, it's like, wow, you really see the passion that not just this community has, but, you know, what's spilling in from the Bay Area, what's coming up from San Diego, and all this, you know, our neighbors as well. Mm-hmm. Sacramento's a very central city. After all, this city was founded on railroads, right? It was a big part of it. It was a very central kind of hub thing.
And
but we're not a cow town. We're not a cow town.
And gold.
That's Vacaville. Literally.
Yes. I have to acknowledge our chat room as well over at live.vognetwork.com.
Hi, chat room.
We do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, VOGNetwork.com, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And if you are listening live, head on over to live.vognetwork.com, where they're talking about Choco Tacos. Is this something you did, Dark Saga?
Yes. No. Well, I just said Choco Taco, but Act Deft reminded us of Mexico.
Yeah. Oh, yes. We have a listener in Mexico
and
right
now. And tacos are better than chocolate.
Yes.
And so my response was, no. Choco Taco.
JD, our pal who lives in the San Francisco area, says, I'm looking forward to going to IGDA.
Yay.
He is in the arcade. It's my first one. He's coming.
Really?
Anyways, come for that. Yep.
We welcome you.
Thank you, JD.
Yes.
Is your last name Phoenix?
I don't think it is.
Oh, my God.
If it is,
you need to be my friend. So
he can be your friend anyway, though,
I'll
right?
I'll be Carmine.
Let's see. Going to some other comments from our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Raginator says, question for Gabe and Bree. But this question is from Raginator, so you'll figure it out. Which do you think will happen first? Half-Life 3 getting released or Loki finishing a game?
Ooh, even I know the answer to that. Because I was looking forward to kind of busting his balls.
Yeah, that's kind of why, you know, I mean, I'm,
Half-Life
you know.
Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Yeah, Half-Life 3 confirmed, folks. Love you, Loki.
It's very clear we're not going to get through an episode without this. So I'll just keep that handy.
Yes.
Anyway. Well, wait, hold on, Mr. Where's Crumple?
It's almost done. Crumple's almost finished.
Do we have the almost done about when you were here in February?
Yeah, and it's almost it's only one other it's guy being, and myself.
It's being polished.
All right.
With a lot of wax.
No, okay, I got to give you a little shit. Where what's the status of Crumple?
So it'll be wax paper?
Will I get to play Crumple soon?
I cannot confirm or deny that. As a matter of fact, we're not even going to go there just yet. Jesus, Lord, I can't keep anything a secret. Well done on that. Anyway, so...
No, I'm...
No, I'm saying... No, that was great. That was a wild coincidental guess, and we're not going to talk about that idea for episode
la,
3.
La, la, la,
anyway.
You're going to have to sign an NDA first.
No.
That's the show after the show.
So Crumple is almost done, and by almost done, I mean 97% done. We're fine-tuning the ending, and then the ending's almost done. I got to look at it earlier this week. It is beautiful in the message that I was hoping for it to convey, I showed Brianna, and she really liked it a lot. So, but there's been more since then, and yeah. So we're almost there. We're almost there. We're hoping this month will finally be it, and we're already developing episode 2. And yeah. So, but you can pre-order now. You can pre-order. You still can pre-order. Go on my Twitter. It's on there and on my pinned tweet. And yeah, it's pre-orders $1. When it goes on sale, it'll be $2. So.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And Nascent Games on Twitter, right?
Nascent Games, yeah, at Nascent Games. And then if you want to see gameplay of it right now, just in case, for those who have no idea what we're even talking about, nascentgames.net, and you can see gameplay immediately of Crumple.
So. Wasn't there a demo on itch.io, or is that not there anymore?
I think the old demo is still on.
But it's an old demo.
Yeah, so the final demos are on Newgrounds. You can go. You can play on through your browser on Newgrounds, nice. Or you can download it on Game Jolt.
Okay.
So yeah, we're hoping to get it released on those sites, the full game, and as well as Kongregate, and then a couple other spots. So
or get your butt to West Sacramento on Saturday.
Yeah, or come next Saturday. You can play there.
You can play it there. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Excited for you. So I had to give you a little bit of crap on that.
No, it's totally okay. You're not the only one.
Right.
It's okay.
Okay. So when you talk about this whole like play, learn, inspire, like I know sometimes people come here to promote their stuff with their taglines, and a lot of us go, okay, yeah, sure, cheesy, ha ha ha. But you guys, like, no, seriously, like, I really think that is a great way to describe the event, because I have to admit, even from my perspective, you know, the very first year, we hadn't met yet. We were connected the very, very first year, mm-hmm. but we got to do this event with you guys the second year. And I remember, you know, I was kind of going into it going, okay, well, this is cool. It's going to be like a local thing. And I saw the list of speakers and I was like, okay, well, I don't really know any of these people. They're local. I'm like, I'm not really going to expect much. Mm-hmm. Whatever. It'll be mm-hmm. interesting. But I was like really blown away by like the quality of speakers that you guys have been drawing to the event. Not just that year, you guys had a great set of people last year as well, which mm-hmm. was even great networking to meet people like Kat and Michelle and some of the people you had last year.
Absolutely.
You know, you guys, I think, really have brought that inspiration and like thinking stuff. And I'm really happy that through Vogue, we can kind of bring that to you guys virtually a little bit. I know some of you guys have heard it in chat that, you know, we're listening here the past couple of years. But maybe I'll pick on Bree a little more here. Tell us a little bit about the speakers you guys have lined up for this year, what we're going to hear about this year.
So we're really proud of the lineup that Gabe has really, you know, spearheaded and putting together. We try to be conscious of making it diverse. Obviously, we have some ladies who will be attending. Michelle Hill will be our keynote speaker. She is originally from Rancho Cordova. She now works at 2K Games out in the Bay Area. Over the last 12 months, she has come back and poured into our community, mentoring our developers, really pouring her heart into it, and we appreciate her so much for that.
Yeah, she's really cool. I met her and got to talk with her last year. She's great. She's great.
Yes, and she's grown as well. Her first time speaking in public was last year at the 2016 Sac Indie Arcade. Just a few weeks ago, she spoke at the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco. That's up on YouTube and in the vault if you guys want to check that out.
But you gave her big break.
We gave her her big break.
we did. And how it happened, to this day, we laugh about how it even happened to begin with. She just happened to email us through the website on the contact form. I thought she was fake. So, because I'm looking her up on LinkedIn, I'm like, nobody from 2K Games is seriously going to know about who we are. I remember telling Bree, like, Bree, someone from 2K Games just messaged us. She's got to be a fake. And it turns out, oh my God, no, she's not. And she ends up being a speaker,
yeah.
You know, last year, as Brianna said, and which is why it's like the amount of support just out of nowhere. She came from the heavens and just has helped and has just helped us out. You know, from just continuing to educate our community, it's been wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
So yeah, Hometown Girls coming back. We also have the co-founder of Code for Hood, Alana Jennings. She works with youth that may not have much exposure to STEM programs like game development. She's going to be doing a presentation on what her organization has done. They also won a big grant from the city of Sacramento to help accelerate their program. So we're really proud to feature her. Mm-hmm. We have people from the United States Patent and Trademark Office, because
this is the one I'm looking forward to the most.
Yes.
We don't talk about this crap enough. I say that lovingly, but you know what I mean? Like,
right, though.
But it becomes like that thing, like when you're designing a game and stuff, these issues, these legal issues you get into that you're probably not even thinking of in the beginning of it. I am really interested in this. This mm-hmm. is a part of like game development that I think we don't ever like think about or talk about enough. So
right, and that's one thing Gabe and I try to impress upon our community here is, you know, we want our developers to be successful. We want to help them grow smart and to build a strong foundation so that they're not a, you know, fly-by-night entity, if you will. So that's why we incorporate the business serious side with the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
But I just have to drop this here because you'll get a kick out of this, Brie. Our pal Bobby Blackwolf, who does the show before us here at Vogue, he's actually mentioning in chat, I got to meet Kat, who was one of the speakers last year, in Atlanta last year. And I was like, did you name drop? He's like, of course I did. She's like, I know OLR. Nice. And she recognized.
Small world.
So there you go. Through some of this whole networking
Beautiful.
Thing.
Beautiful.
creates contacts in other places.
Yeah.
We're also going to have, now, unfortunately, we don't get to do this part on Vogue because it's music, but if you're going to be there in person, you guys got, like, I mean, your musicians in the past have been great, but you got one that, like, people are going to know this year, right?
Yeah. Thanks to Rockage on this one. They, you know, we were actively looking for somebody, and, you know, we try to highlight just one good person, you know, to be a part of the vibe, further enhance the vibe, you know, at our event. And yeah, we have, and I didn't even know this either until afterwards, Ben Prunty, I don't want to say prune like Prunty, but anyway, so Ben Prunty, he is actually the guy that made the music for FTL, so, which is Insanity, and I freaked out completely. I was like, oh my goodness. And yeah, so it was a big deal to have him a part of this this event this time around, and we are eternally grateful for it. And I think this will be his second live show, I think, because his first one was Rockage just mm-hmm. about a month and a half ago. So this will be his second, but his first time in Sacramento. So yeah, this is going to be big.
And
so.
Y'all may think you haven't heard of him, but you have, because that Humble Freedom Bundle that just was out not that long ago, FTL was in that, right? Was the soundtrack in that too? I can't remember.
I want to say yes, but I might be off.
Somebody in chat. That's what the great thing about having a chat room is, we get live fact checking. Because if we screw up, we're, that's an alternative fact, Rob. That's not
at least
what
someone's
actually happened.
Fact-checking.
At least someone's fact-checking the show.
In general. Take a shot.
All right. Black Wolf in chat says FTL is usually in bundles, so you most likely have it at some point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the game is, you know, it's a very well known indie game, so that's great. Mm-hmm. That's gonna be cool that you have that live, and hopefully I'll be able to slip him a business card and get him on our show, if not for a performance, to at least talk about the music a little bit. So that'll be cool. Nice. It's all about networking.
Yes,
because you know the Sacramento shows, us and the Game Bang. I can't say their name five times fast. Love those guys, but Video Game Gang Bang, Video Game Bang Gang Game Bang. I can't fucking do it.
VGB.
I like that. Shout out so VGB. Us and VGB are going to be circling like hawks with our business card. Come on the show. And hey, it's all good. Those guys are awesome too, and I'm sure we'll have all the same guests, but we're going to both have fun. It'll be good. Definitely. So. Excellent. I'm so looking forward to the event. Have you tried to do anything? And this is for either of you that want to answer it. Have you tried to do anything different this year compared to last year? Or are you kind of like, after last year's show, you're like, okay, this formula, like, this worked well, so we're gonna kind of roll with it again. Like, we got a template now. Yeah, Brie.
We really want to make it like a Disney freaking experience. It's supposed to be an interactive day, right? And, you know, we're indie. We don't have any sponsors, but I'm working with the resources that I have to make it feel like people are walking into an actual arcade. You're going to have the sounds and the feel and the looks, and we just want it all encompassing.
Oh, this is why you guys were there setting up the art. Or am I supposed to say that you guys were?
No, yeah. You can. No, you totally.
Well, you
can.
Tweeted it. I can say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You were out there. It's out there. You were setting up the art gallery stuff there, which I don't remember that last year.
That's new.
Okay. Yes, it's brand new. Yeah.
I like that. So you're taking a Disney approach, because one thing that separates Disneyland from, like, I don't know, Marine World. Is that when you go on, like, Indiana Jones, right? You're even you're standing in the line, and you can, like, shake the pole and the rope that the guy will fall from, right? Like, everything around is an experience. Yes. Whereas, like, at Marine World, it's like, okay, you're going to go on the Superman roller coaster, and there's literally nothing Superman about it except for the screams of pure terror that you hear coming from the ride. That's really it.
Practically hear that on the drive going there. Right? Jeez, on I-80,
and,
please.
You know, no disrespect to Marine World, but that's something that Disney does very well, right? So
yes.
I like that approach. So you're gonna create that environment more this year.
Definitely.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited to be a part of it.
And that's just one aspect.
Yeah.
So you guys don't just have indie games. I mean, I don't know how you cram this all in that space, but
neither
you do.
Do we.
You don't just have indie games. You're going to have, like, retrospectives and stuff too, huh?
Yes, pretty much. Yeah, we're going to be... I'm going to let Brie laugh that one off. But the idea here is that... Yeah,
The gallery is one thing that we're incorporating for this new event, and we're super, super excited and very grateful to the community center for that addition. If you happen to be in West Sac, stop by. The art's on display all week, so be sure to go by there and check that out. There's a few things we weren't successful with because of the timing of such. We're hoping to incorporate that for next year. Indie developers, video, VR, and board and tabletop. We will also, again, we talked about the speakers and the panelists as well. Additional game tournaments. We're going to have a speedrunner this time. He's a pretty significant speedrunner. Thanks to Consolecade and them for that. So
you have Consolecade. You have Atari Party.
Atari Party's coming back. Nice. Absolutely. That's an absolute must. So
that's going
to
be fun.
You get to touch part of the vault.
That's right. Because Dan brings the vault.
We bring the 5200s.
Yes. By the way, our chatters running away with this Disney thing, by the way. Dungeon Buster says, walking into an actual arcade. I like this approach. Bobby Blackwolf is asking, can I go ahead and register my fast passes? Is a season pass to SAC Indie Arcade $1,000?
We're going to incorporate that on our Indiegogo campaign for 2018. Thank you for that suggestion.
Will I have the music playing in line stuck in my head? Will it be a world of laughter and a world of tears?
In a world of hope and a world of fears.
This is already a world of pain.
Seriously, yes. Thank you.
Yeah, JD has fallen that up. One thing that separates them is about $50 in admission. There you go.
That's right.
That's actually very...
$10.
That's right.
Will there be speakers hidden inside rocks?
We could arrange that.
Don't go looking. Let's just leave it that way. Don't go looking. Yeah, we got a funny fucking bunch to hang out here.
Your people are funny as shit. You nerds.
We should have a two drink minimum here.
Seriously.
It's the Voice of Geeks Network. They come out in force.
On,
all them funny geeks all over.
It's probably a bad segue then for me to talk about the charitable organizations that'll be there.
No, let's. Come on. Yes. Come on. It's all about doing some good. Mm-hmm. We can laugh and throw shade and stuff as long as we know at the end of the day we're doing good.
Yeah,
so,
right. We're making a positive impact.
What good do we get to do?
So the Sacramento Guild for Extra Life is also going to be on site.
Oh, cool.
They're going to be hanging out with our Street Fighter tournament. And we also have a new organization that we're welcoming called the Gamers Gift. And they're based out of UC Davis, college students who take VR consoles and video games to senior care facilities and children's hospitals. And they basically try to, help liven up the atmosphere there and bring the adventure to them.
That's like when you used to hear about the Nintendo Wii's, the Wii Sports bowling were at all the senior care facilities and stuff to like get more seniors into gaming. But I didn't even think of like VR as something that could do that. Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I see Bobby Blackwell sitting up in his chair out there somewhere. Yeah. He's our big VR guy on the network.
Oh, he is looking awesome.
Yeah. So
people will get a chance to meet them and learn more about who they are and how they can help their local organization too.
That's so cool. I love that's a great idea. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
Awesome.
Yep, we are not just another convention. We are standing out with reference to the amount of folks we're trying to impact both locally and beyond, and have substance in our event where it's not just as you mentioned earlier, a day of networking. It's going to be an incredible day of networking. But then from that point, the hope I have for this is that someone's going to walk in there, be it young or old, and they're going to play something or they're going to meet someone and they're going to say, I can. And they're going to leave and they're going to find out how they're going to be able to utilize that because I was that person 5.5 years ago.
Or if they're Loki, they say, I will someday, eventually,
yes.
When I have time.
Push that shade button,
yes,
sir.
Sorry, excuse me.
Fantastic. But yes, that's Loki, we love you. Damn it. Get that game done already. Okay.
Which I would like to stop busting his balls for a second because we will have a game developer panelist gentleman there who develops games with his kids. And props to Loki for doing the family bit and being on the show and holding down the day job. But if others can do it, Loki can do it too. So hopefully he takes notes during that panel.
That I thought she was.
Y'all are gonna get sick of that fucking button by the end of the night.
I could have sworn.
If you aren't ready.
Take a shot, everybody.
I could have sworn she said, you know, let's not bust his balls, and then just busted his balls anyway.
I know. But that was the shade, because she said, like, I'm not going to do it directly, but I totally just did it anyway.
But indirectly, I'm going to do it anyway, like ninjas.
So, no, we love Loki. Come on. And man actually, isn't here to defend himself.
And that's actually, it's a good mention, too, because one of the speakers, our dear friend Steve Whitney, he's going to be talking, one of his panels is going to be highlighting just that, the importance of parents and their children, gaming and game developing, together. We're actually going to have a couple of game studios where it's actually parent and child together. And showing off their game. One art piece in a gallery we received this past Friday. The poster is a great 80s style poster of the game that they're working on, RC Battle, and RC Car Battle. And the idea is that there's a kid with an old school retro style motorcycle helmet on, with holding a remote control, and it happens to be a son. And the game is actually a son's idea.
Oh, cool!
And it's just absolutely incredible. I mean, I was so touched by that. We actually had the pleasure of meeting them briefly. It was fantastic. So. That's just an example of how we, how in the arcade, Sack in the Arcade is going to continue to be different and forge its own path and not copy other paths. We're going to forge our own path into creating something much more significant here. Because as I said earlier in the show, there was no job market for game development, period, here. There just wasn't. But now we do. Yeah. Now we have one, and it's just getting better. So
if y'all are local, I don't know how to sell this shit to you anymore. Like, if you aren't already planning on attending, I really don't know what else I can say at this point. So I hope you all are planning to be here to hang out with Gabe, to hang out with Bree and us at Vogue Network. We will be upstairs in the little black box.
Woo!
All day to work with the broadcast of the actual panels, so that if you can't be here live, you can at least check out some of the panels, although I'll warn you, tech shit always happens, so
yep.
It's not super reliable, but if nothing else, we'll have it all taped, and we're planning to rebroadcast it, hopefully, when OLR would usually be on the next night, since we're not going to actually be here the next night, so that'll be an opportunity for folks to check that out, if nothing else, so absolutely. We always have a plan B,
yeah, right.
So. Awesome. We'll talk more, of course, about the event and what you guys are up to as we move on throughout the show tonight, but I do want to make sure we get to some of the other topics going on in gaming world this week, so let's move on and talk about, we'll get into gaming news in a moment here, but I want to talk quickly about this, because Darksoccer, you weren't here last week because you had the kidney stone thing going on, we got to hear a little bit from you on Skype about this, but I really got the sense you didn't really get to dive into Mass Effect Andromeda until this week.
Yeah.
So I want to check in with you a little bit more about how the game is going, because I don't often listen to this show because I live it. I don't need to listen to it again usually. But I did kind of listen back to last week's show, and in listening back, I was kind of like, God, I might have been like a little harsh on the game, because at the end of the day, I'm still a fan of Mass Effect, but... And I know we use this scenario all the time, and y'all are sick of hearing this metaphor, but it's that whole Tyra Banks yelling at the model thing, because it's the things you care about the most that you're going to blow up and yell at first. And so I think kind of some of that was happening last week a little bit with Mass Effect. Because, Darksoccer, I know you weren't here, but I got into a little bit about the lack of the gay romances that were in it and some of that was going on.
Black?
And well... Because there's only two, and there's a trophy for three, and you can't actually get the trophy if you choose to play.
Yeah, you can.
No, you can't.
Because there's ladies and there's dudes, and you can do lesbian and you can do
Dark Sakura. I don't know if you're understanding, but I can't just, if I want to play a gay rider, I can't just suddenly say, oh, I'm going to sleep with a woman to get the trophy.
Well, no. I mean that you could play a female character and get a lesbian romance.
But you see where the issue is, right?
I do. Okay. I get that. But like, I think that there actually more lesbian options.
Well, yes, and that's great for the gay ladies, but it's also kind of like, it kind of also, in my opinion, reinforces a trope that being a lesbian is more acceptable than being gay, which I've had to deal with in my life, right? And, you know, anybody that's had to deal with that whole, well, if the two chicks are making out, that's hot. You know, that whole, it's that thing. That's the only thing that bothers me about. But anyway, I promised I wouldn't be negative this week, but just to recap, those were some of the things we were talking about last week. And then there was the whole...
Dude, I like Gil, though.
The trans character was it was a little rough.
I think that they were... I wouldn't expect, like, a real trans person to use their dead name.
Right.
But at the same time, I think it was just to bring out that this character does exist. So maybe it was a poorly designed storytelling.
But at least they were trying to say that, yes, in the future, just like the present, trans people exist. So, you know, that's...
The execution could have been better, but...
It's one of those... Have you seen that picture?
I was pretty happy to see it.
Have you seen that picture on Tumblr of the star where it says, "You tried," written in Comic Sans?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about it. You tried. So, anyway, all that stuff aside, I want to check in a little bit on some of the pauses. Because I got to say, I've spent a lot more time with the game this week, and there is a lot that I really, really, really do like about Andromeda. Just like the story, I think once you really get into it, I think the story is really good.
I convinced a dude in Target to buy it.
Did you?
I pulled a Shane.
Yeah. His powers were on loan. Well, Shane just beat the game today. And obviously he won't tell me.
Becky.
He won't tell me a lot because of spoilers. But he said it will absolutely be his game of the year. He doesn't understand the negativity going on at all. He said some of the most gut-wrenching decisions he's ever had to make in a BioWare game were in this game. Mm-hmm. And I've had that same moment. There have definitely been decisions in this game where I'm like, I can't fucking choose. This is too hard. I don't know.
I may have looked at a couple of spoilers.
Well, and what's tough about Andromeda this time is that, you know, in the Shepard Paragon Renegade thing, it was a lot of decisions were very black and white. You could be good guy or you could be bad guy, basically. But it was more like it wasn't bad guy so much as like being an asshole to get what you want type mm-hmm. of thing. But in Andromeda, those lines are gone. And so it's not always clear what the good guy option is. And that's what makes the decisions a lot fucking harder.
I've been just aiming for whatever answers are professional when mm-hmm. dealing with complete strangers. Mm-hmm. And then with dealing with the crew, I've been a little bit snarky.
Have you gone in to read your psychological profile?
No, not yet.
Oh, yeah. You got to do that. Go into the codex or journal. I don't forget which one it is. And you actually select yourself. Mm-hmm. And Lexi actually is filling out, as you go along, a psychological profile on you.
Cool.
And like the decisions you're making and all this stuff.
I adore Lexi.
Yeah. So yeah, what are your cute. What are your thoughts on the game? What are your thoughts on Andromeda?
So far, I love Gil, and I wish I could date him. He makes me think of Alistair from Dragon Age. So
I have to, that's a good comparison right there, actually.
But
yeah.
Vetra is Eternal Space Waifu, although I am going for... Jaw.
I can't believe Dark Sakura of all people. Like, no, seriously, I saw like a Facebook post or something where she's like, "Vetra is my waifu forever. Heart, heart, heart. XOXO, starry eyes." I'm like, "Desu, desu." What?
It wasn't like that. I did a meme on LOL Effect. Future space waifu.
I see.
Although I am going for Jaw this time around because I don't like the way that my rider looks. So he gets the less than perfect one, and Vetra gets the perfect
Jaw.
One.
I love Jaw. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to
interrupt. I love you.
Been
playing Andromeda too.
Oh yeah. I've been.
His voice purrs.
Yeah, there's like this big movement out there to like make Jaw. Well, I mean, you can't make anyone bisexual, but it is a video game. But let the dudes romance Jaw too, because to be fair, gay dudes have never got to bang an alien. Like, that's the one thing the series has robbed us of, is we haven't got to bang an alien yet.
Although, yet. I mean, and I don't think Asari count, because Asari are technically monogendered.
True.
But this is also, though, this is the first game that you get to bang an alien that's not an Asari for a same-sex pairing, because mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you get Vetra.
Yep.
So.
And,
really?
Okay. One of the Angara as well, right?
No.
Oh, that's only heterosexual.
Yeah. Okay. The Avala, who is the curator of the museum.
Okay.
She's the dude option.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, though, back to the game itself. I get motion sick. It actually crashed my old graphics card. Like, hardcore.
I'm laughing because I know the punchline to this.
So I bought a new one. more like Dan bought a new one. And it's like, okay, I go into the room to go, you know, I fuss about my card, reboot the game. I go into the bedroom to kiss Dan goodnight. And he's like, by the way, your card will be here tomorrow. What? So we got a GTX 1060. So
good card. Good
not
card.
The best, but pretty good.
That's really good. Yeah, that's what I have that. Yeah, that's good. Good
and card. I've been able to bump up all my settings, and I actually did pop into WoW for a little bit too, and it looks really nice. So
I have a somewhat similar story, just real quick aside, is that I actually wrote a tweet earlier this week where I said something like, I really want to hurry up and beat Mass Effect Andromeda on PlayStation 4. I kind of want to get it on PC, though, so I can play multiplayer with my husband, but I don't want to do it until I beat, because Alan's on PC, I don't want to do it until I beat the PlayStation 4 version. The next day, you've received a gift on Origin from Alan. Note, troll.
The one thing I'm mad about is because I ordered it, or you ordered mine through Amazon so I could get the 20% off pre-order. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the deluxe one on there to pre-order. So I'm going to have to buy it again when it goes on sale. So I can get the other outfits and a Pyjack pet, a.k.a. the monkey, and have all the stuff.
For those keeping track at home, I am now up to 2 copies of Mass Effect Andromeda thanks to Husbando. So, and the troll. So, if now I just have to get a copy on Xbox One and I'll complete the trifecta for now. Right. So, just for y'all keeping tabs at home, Rob's already up to 2 copies of Mass Effect Andromeda.
Back to the actual review of the game.
Yes.
Okay. And this is coming from me with some of my weird depth perception issues. I do get motion sick on it whenever I accelerate in the Nomad, which, by the way, Nomad, much better than the Mako.
Oh, yes.
But
and
not
anything
by much.
Is better than the Hammerhead. Actually, ATV mode for me is a lot easier than the non-ATV mode because it's not moving as fast. But boosting and jumping, and normally jumping with a character too, because it makes the screen jostle a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
It will make me super motion sick. So if I'm stuck in the Nomad for a long time, I'll get motion sick. So as for the animation issue, I did run into some of the dialogue problems from the get-go. There's still a few glitchy things. Like one time, like it was in the Ket ship part where you're talking the smuggler thing.
Yes.
And the ship is turned upside down and then it rotates. And that made me so sick.
They got all Mode 7 on you from like Super Nintendo days.
Yes.
Anyway. That whole thing made me so sick. But there was this one thing where you're hearing the people talk on the speaker, and I swear my writer's head did the fucking owl thing. She was looking right behind her head. And I'm like, girl.
I
screenshot that one. Because that's going to be a meme someday. But the story has been really good. It had a kind of a slow build-up.
Yeah.
And then once you get into the meat of it, especially when you deal with the Angara, and and this is just a little thing for me. This is actually why I liked fucking Avatar, of all things. I like when you are presented with an alien race and they already have an established culture. Not just, oh, here's this people, and they kind of do this thing. I like that they're the whole mythology has been built up, that their way of life has been built up, that they are an established entity by the time you meet them, instead of, oh, let's just put these people here, like in some games.
Yeah, and Star Trek was always really good about
Star
this,
Trek
too.
Star Trek was always really good about that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's the thing that really, I think, is a mark of a good science fiction if it's going to have aliens in it. The aliens have to be established.
I really think that 10-hour preview was the worst thing EA could have done for the game. Yeah. I like looking back a little bit, especially about some of the tweets that came out about it and so forth, because there is a slow buildup, not in the game, but when we say slow buildup, I know the first thing everybody's going to say is like, well, Final Fantasy 13, all sorts of, it's different. When I say a slow buildup, I don't mean a slow buildup in the sense of the gameplay or anything like that. It's just the story takes a little bit of time before it really gets going, which if you're coming off of a game like Mass Effect 3, where the first fucking thing that happens in Mass Effect 3 is the town that you're in is getting shot the fuck up by Reapers. Mm-hmm. So you hit the ground running.
But they expect when you're playing 3 that you have already played the other series, because the first Mass Effect?
Right. Was also a slow build-up.
Yes, it was.
It did jump you into the action right away. But you had no fucking clue what was going on or what you're walking into. And then you get introduced to the rest of the galaxy, you know, along with everything else. And I think that, I honestly think, and this goes back to a video I saw complaining about how most, you see a lot of movies that are supposed to be like a not sequel, but a reimagining. even though they're in the series. I kind of think that this one's trying to recapture the things that worked from the first Mass Effect and took the gameplay aspects from the other Mass Effect games that did work. And so I think that it was a valiant effort, and I truly do believe that it's paid off. And as far as just visually, you know, now I am playing it as high as I can play it. It's really, really, really fucking pretty.
It looks great on PC, now that I can say that.
Mm-hmm. Right now, well, actually, I left that planet. I went back to Eos, but I was on Havarl, which is one of the Angara planets. And it's all this wildlife and overgrown.
That planet is gorgeous. Yeah, I've been there, too. That planet's gorgeous.
And the thing, though, is that it felt like walking through a heavily wooded area, especially when you've got bugs that are hiding in the plants and, you know, things that can pop just out of the trees. If you've ever been in a dense forest or jungle situation, or even in a swamp, which I have, it's kind of like that, though, where someone can just come right out of nowhere. And so you get a little bit of suspense to it, too. You'll hear the sounds. You always get an indicator of where enemies are showing up, but you still get those sounds like, what's shooting at me? Where is it?
You know what else is really gorgeous is those vaults that you go into.
Yes.
And especially, again, I don't want to spoiler, but the first escape sequence from a vault.
Right.
Oh. That was a really impressive sequence.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yes.
There's you see some of it in a trailer, so it's not really spoilery, but still, to actually play through that, like, not only was it graphically, like, really...
That was the demo.
Oh, what?
The vault was the demo that they did before. What?
Oh, yes, it was. It was. Mm-hmm. But did they do the escape sequence part of that?
No, they did remember. The getting into it,
yeah,
but the whole area was the demo.
Yeah, no. I remember that the vault was that demo they did in the early YouTube, but the escape sequence was right. I think that was the moment where the game really started to kick into high gear.
Which is funny because that's where they cut it off in the time demo. It's like,
idiotas!
It's like, seriously? So, like, for real? Yeah, so, but yeah, absolute kudos to... Mass Effect Inquisition, because that's what it feels like.
Yeah. Well, it is Frostbite. Now, here's the other thing, too, is that every day I go and check Nexus mods. Because, you know, it didn't take too long for them to have cracked the stuff for Dragon Age to do those mods.
No, they didn't. Nope.
And my biggest complaint is still the character creation. They could have done exactly what Dragon Age did and have this fully tweakable, customizable... You know, where you pull X-axis and Y-axis to make things a certain size or to make it move. But they had all these really terrible presets. The guy presets were pretty terrible.
Yeah.
But they just, like, were dead set that if you don't play the default, you might be stuck with a very, very homely-looking character.
Can I ask a question,
please,
about that? Because I want to get both of your opinions on this, because there was some feedback based on that character creation where some, again, this is just, you know, you take the internet with a grain of salt. But, you know, I found this particular argument a striking argument. The argument was that the reason for the character creation was so limited, if you will, was... You know, because they said BioWare did that to prevent any sort of or minimize any sort of backlash on any character that you can create that's too sexy, too pretty. And I would love to know. I mean, I laughed when I saw that, but because, you know, again, BioWare, you know, has been under this massive spotlight ever since the ending of 3, as you mentioned earlier.
It's a cop out.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Dad Ryder. He takes after the traits based on what physical traits, which of the basic presets that you choose and modify,
mm-hmm.
his ethnicity and eye color and some of his other physical traits mm-hmm. take directly from the choices that you pick in the character creator.
I think Dad Ryder's the reason it's so limited.
That's my theory, too. Yeah. However... Mm. I think that maybe you should have the option of choosing an ethnicity preset and then being able, instead of just having just the straight bar across, you can tweak it in better ways.
And let's be real. If you want to play Ryder with the biggest breasts in the galaxy, a modder's going to bring that to you sooner rather than later. So,
of course. If not already.
One of my
favorite
mods ever was for Mass Effect 3 that made Shepard look a little, Lady Shepard, look a little bit more buff.
Yeah.
Because she's a fucking space marine.
Jamie's also one of those people where Lady Shepard is the only Shepard.
So. She was the first Shepard. Remember that. Them Shep came first.
All right. Anyway.
Awesome.
Quickly though, Gabe, since you've been playing as well, what are your thoughts on the game?
I agree with reference to the pacing of it, you know, and fortunately I understood, you know, I came into this with the understanding of they're not going to relate at all to the previous Mass Effect 3 games, even though they already have in a couple little tiny ways, which is nice. I mean, I think it's cool. I think I too feel like it there was a bit of a slow build up with it. But I think in this size of a game, you want to do that. And I think it was still executed well. I don't think it was executed perfectly. Nothing ever necessarily is. I mean, I think it could have been done a little bit better, but it's definitely not the worst pacing issues I've ever seen when introducing a new universe. As you mentioned, you know, with that first vault, I think things, you know, you first land on Eos and you start, you know, I already got that feeling like, oh my goodness, I remember how awesome it felt to explore the planets, and Eos just gave me that feeling. And because graphically, it's just, even on Xbox One, it's just astounding. So that's what I play it on. And but yet, as you explored around and you know did your thing, very hard to stay focused on the amount of crap that you have to do. That's something that turned me, I don't want to say it turned me off, but it took me aback a little bit, because it was, you know, I love those games, Dragon Age, you know, Inquisition, my favorite of all the Dragon Age games, all the three Mass Effects, fantastic, but this new Mass Effect felt overwhelming.
It is what is slowing me down the most.
Mm-hmm.
I should have that fucking game beat by now. I feel like I have barely progressed, and it's because I just can't, like, all the worst elements of my gamer ADD kick in when it's like, right. I gotta go do this quest, but there's a shiny over here, yeah. But I gotta scan this thing over there, but yep. There's a vault I gotta do, yep. And a Sudoku puzzle.
Yeah.
It's totally Sudoku, yep. Isn't it?
It's totally Sudoku.
But I'll tell you what, though, I have super loved all the distractions, because you're not necessarily timed on events in the game.
Thank goodness.
I didn't finish Eos, but I'm glad that I waited to finish Eos, because mm-hmm. when I came back, there was more to do.
Yes.
And there was even, I left it like a 75% viability. Now, mm-hmm. I finished Vold, so I never have to fucking go there again.
that world has been...
hate Vold.
Yeah.
Because it's cold.
Angry, angry Hoth is what...
It's Angry Hoth. That's exactly it. And the I have driven my Nomad over a mountain. Yeah. Over the mountain. That
the
was kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as
Calamity
easy.
Jamie makes her own fucking path.
Exactly. Right. Well, it's not like it was in the first Mass Effect where were literally driving vertically.
Yeah, right.
The one problem is, though, is that I have this series of memes on Mass Effecting. It's called Shepard's Bad Driving. And I'm starting a new one with...
Well, you know, women drivers.
Hey.
I'm sorry. She left the door wide fucking open.
Hit the shade button.
I'm sorry.
So anyway,
the following comments are not necessarily of the internet.
I'm going to be doing a sequel to that called Sarah's Nightmare Driving. But it's hard to get the Nomad in one of those weird positions like you could with the Mako.
Right.
So I'm having a really hard time for my blog. But I did drive it completely over a mountain, and that was pretty fun.
Yeah, those are, but the
climb
game.
Every mountain.
All right.
The game overall is absolutely. I think it's an absolutely beautiful game, and I'm looking really forward to what comes next. And I'm just happy to see some smartassery from the Krogan again. That's great.
All right, I got to move on past what mm-hmm. Zeba and Chad is calling Orange Lounge Mass Effect Radio. But hey, look, we've been waiting 5 years. Five long years.
Jack is officially my new grandpa.
So, you know, it's gonna happen a little bit. All right. But let's talk about some other games as well. We need to get into our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we've been playing this week besides Mass Effect, if there have been any. Dark Soccer, I'll check in with you first. How was your gaming week?
Well, Mass Effect. I've also played a little bit of World of Warcraft, basically just long enough to download the Tomb of Sargeras patch and see what my new card looked like. It was pretty. I have been, because I don't even know what it is, but I'm kind of getting back into some of my cell phone gaming. So I've been playing Bejeweled Stars, which is kind of stupid, but a fun little challenge. Lots of Bust a Move. Like, I'm on Bust a Move marathon mode, like you wouldn't believe.
God, what a great game.
My puzzle bobble. That's it. and Pokemon Go, a bit here and there. I evolved a whole bunch of stuff last week. That was pretty fun. Still doing Miitomo. I don't really consider that a game, but it's kind of like fun dress up. They just had like these outfits that are all totally like Tron-like, and it was pretty awesome. And I guess really... Oh, yeah, Dan got Bomberman Zero. Not Bomberman. Blaster Master.
I'm sorry to hear it. Oh, Blaster Master.
Blaster Master?
I don't know why I said Bomberman. Oh. Blaster Master. He finished it. The real ending.
Oh, yeah?
He really likes it.
Yeah. I think it's a... That was a smart time to put something like that out. It doesn't really get lost in other Switch titles. The only thing it's really competing against is Zelda.
Right. You know? And Binding of Isaac.
Yeah, you know, and so I think there's a lot of room for that game to run.
On DS, 3DS.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ooh, okay. And it was just fine. He really, really seemed to enjoy it. And then we did finish Breath of the Wild. And then, you know, I am disappointed because I would have liked for there to be like a kind of a second quest, except your second quest is to rebuild Hyrule. But it's still a great game. The true ending, I admit I got a little sniffly. It was really great. And I think for all of us who have for years done the Link Zelda ship, it has finally paid off.
Okay, spoiler alert.
I didn't see.
I haven't beat it yet. That's all. All
there's right. Nothing. That didn't.
All right. All
that
right.
Didn't spoil anything if you've ever looked at any of the memories.
Zelda's a princess? What?
Fair enough. All right. Anything else for Game Week?
No.
Let's check in with our guests. Bree, I didn't get to hear from you during that whole Mass Effect thing. I'm assuming you kind of sat that one out, but. What video games have you been playing?
Oh,
lately?
I have opinions on Mass Effect.
Do you? Oh, please.
The chat room's not going to like it.
Don't, please, go for it. Put them on blast.
I have chosen to block any conversation in my timelines regarding Mass Effect Andromeda. There are certain aspects that this casual gamer does not agree with that are incorporated in that game.
Ooh, what and though? I want to know.
That's for another show, my friend.
Oh, that's a nasty tease. That is a nasty, nasty tease.
The
all right.
whole sexual relations part is something I do not agree with.
Okay.
But again, if you'd like to have me back when we're not promoting Sack Indie Arcade, I'd be happy to discuss that with your people.
We're gonna talk. We'll talk about alien banging on another episode.
Yes, and maybe you can help me understand that.
I'll give you the short version. It's in movies for a reason.
Yeah. But
that's the short version. We can get into another time.
That yeah. Yes.
All right.
So
I will say, you do have the ability to continue the relationship without the banging for some of them.
And yes. If you want to be completely not do any of it, you don't have to romance anybody.
Exactly.
So, anyway. And so I'll preface my next appearance on your show with, when does it become crossing the line in relationships when you're engaging in that kind of romance or hinting at it with another player?
Interesting. All right, we'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that for now. I think that could be a fascinating topic for
the chat room's going to go nuts.
But on this topic,
no, they're going to be like, finally, someone's pushing their buttons on Mass Effect. I'm excited. They're going to be Bobby's getting out of pinata right now.
Now he's really going to show up, expecting his fast pass to the event. But I was so excited to talk about this topic because I think the last time I was on the show was like 2 years ago and I was still very infantile in my game playing world. But now, are you sitting? Is everybody sitting? I have completed 2 games all by myself.
Good job.
Because I finally made time to do so.
I know this because you've been live streaming some of them
yes,
too.
Yes, and you've yes. been hosting me. So thank you.
Of course, happy to.
So I'm going to encompass my whole 2 years. I finally beat Wolf Among Us. I started it and played it. I loved it. I played Life is Strange. I started Unravel.
Mm-hmm.
And I started... I feel so childish on this.
Why? Do you know how much good stuff I've heard about Life is Strange? Yes. And I actually watched, like... I don't remember what was going on. I was up at, like, 2 a.m. on a Friday night a few weeks ago. And, like... I just was like, well, what's going on Twitch? Like, I feel like I should have been high or something, but I don't do that. I don't do any of that stuff. But like, I felt like still it was like one of those nights. And so at 2 a.m. on a Friday, I'm there on Twitch, and like, Bree's streaming Life is Strange. She's got insomnia going on too. So I was actually watching for like a good hour.
Oh, that was you.
That was me.
How come you didn't say hi?
Usually I'm watching on PlayStation. I don't have a keyboard. I can kind of do.
That's fine. But yeah, I grew so attached to those characters, and I was going through some stuff at the time I was playing that game. And now that it's over, I finally understand why people played that game multiple times, because there's so many different ways you could go about it. So I made some new friends when I was streaming online with that, and that was cool because there were some parts where I got stuck. But when I first started that game in the fall, I know everybody, please don't give me grief in the chat room. It took me like 9 months to finish that game.
They can fight me. Do you know how long it takes me to finish any game?
But there was some heavy shit in that game that my heart just was not ready to address at that point in time.
I've heard Life is Strange is really resonates with people.
Yeah.
So, but I loved it, and I'm trying to keep it light. I downloaded Dear Esther on my Xbox. Why are indie titles so serious? Some of them.
I just picked that up for Mac.
Yeah, Dear Esther is really, because they just did the remaster. It just came out. Mm-hmm. If you do enjoy Dear Esther, you must play Everybody's Gone to the Rapture.
Oh, okay.
That game like still resonates with me to this day, and it doesn't affect everybody the same way. Mm-hmm. But there's something about that game that is just so fucking beautiful. Like I can't handle it. Like, and even playing Dear Esther, I was like, this isn't Rapture. This isn't, like, it's good, but it's not Rapture. So it's almost like they're going to get crushed by their own success. But that you definitely need to try. Everybody's Gone to the Rapture is so good.
I will look into that. Thank mm-hmm. you.
You're welcome.
Give me another 2 years.
You got it. Take your time. Don't let anybody rush you. But I noticed in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Free Kill Zero says, oh, I finished Unravel myself last week. That game had some major feels. So just warning, Unravel may not be the emotional break you were hoping for.
It's the controls. I take too much time away from that game that by the time I get back to it, I forget how to swing and throw the rope and do that whole bit. But it's beautiful. I love it. Damn that music, though, because some of the pieces, like, that's what keeps drawing me back. It's difficult for me, but that music.
The music in Rapture is what will do it.
Oh,
it's like,
good.
Oh my God. I'm getting chills just thinking about it. ICP. I don't know if it's ICP or Ice P. In the chat room.
We'll go with the ICP.
I know. Clearly a reference to the Insane Clown
of
Posse.
Of course.
Clearly.
Yes.
Anyway, just kidding. But anyway, Ice P in chat says, if you like walking simulators, I would suggest Firewatch.
Love that game.
I really enjoyed Firewatch as well.
Beat that game in one night. It went on sale. Beat that game in one night.
that's another one I'd
Fantastic.
Recommend. That should only take you a few hours to get through.
Yeah.
Even if you look behind every nook and cranny, mm-hmm. it's like maybe 5 hours tops.
Yeah, maybe
tops.
Five. Yeah.
So that was really good too. I don't like the brand walking simulators. I'm just that's not no shade. I'm not going to bring out the shade button for the chatter because I realize that's kind of like what the internet has adopted as kind of the term. I'm not a fan of that term because I feel like that term is used sometimes to belittle those types of games because
right.
I just consider them more. They are very heavily narrative based games. They're very heavily on the story as opposed to the action.
I feel it's a true definition of visual narrative.
Yeah.
It's an interactive visual narrative.
Yeah.
It's what it is. You are in the story and you are following the story that the book, if you will, mm-hmm. has presented. Instead of you finding out when you turn the page, you're going to find out when you turn the corner. And it's going to and it's going to reveal all these little things. But yeah, I as an indie developer, you know, like if we're gonna trounce made up genres and stuff like that, Metroidvania needs to stop. But I won't even go there. But like, you know, but yeah, the walking simulator thing, it shouldn't demean or devalue.
Yeah,
you
I'm
know,
not, yeah,
no
and
way.
I'm not saying it to like shake my finger. Or don't do that, you know, type of right. thing. I'm just saying. I'm like, I feel like those games deserve a label that, you know, because honestly, it's quickly becoming one of my favorite genre of games.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, okay, is it because I'm old and I can't do action as much anymore? I don't know. But I get more out of those types of games. Like, especially for somebody with my short attention span type of thing. And obviously, Brie is a victim of this, too, because she mentioned this, too. It takes her a while to get through a game. Like, these, like, 4-hour interactive adventures are perfect. You know what I mean? Like, they're just like perfect stories. I don't know. For me, that's how I feel anyway.
I blame it on Sack Indie Arcade for right now. Well, like, my butt will sit in front of the TV.
You clearly have every right to blame event planning for why you don't play video games. Bree,
you were going to say.
I want to piggyback off of Jamie, though. I have started Pokemon Go again because it's beautiful outside and I need to get my butt walking. I haven't gone to any gyms or battles yet. I don't know how to do that. So I
haven't done any either.
Can we do it together?
You also don't have, like, I think part of the beauty of that game, although that game has its flaws for sure, but part of the beauty of that game is that you don't have to do that at all if you don't want. Like, there's tons of rewards to get from the game without ever touching that stuff. But you can do it if you want. And it's you do get other rewards for doing it. You do get the premium in-game currency you get that from doing the gyms, but I kind of think you can get a rich experience without it.
Well, that's good to know then, because here I am trying to like build up my Pokemon for something, but it's always, for me, playing games with people is always more fun in real life, not necessarily online.
Absolutely, absolutely. JD wanted to back up a minute here and chat over at live.vognetwork.com saying, I don't actually know what a walking simulator is. No, that's a fair question.
It is.
Because it's kind of a newer genre of game. I would say the first big one, well, Dear Esther was probably actually the first big one, but Gone Home was probably the first really successful mainstream big one. And you may remember with Gone Home got shit from a lot of people because a lot of people were like, where's the game, though? Like, you're walking through this scary house, and you think at some point, like, a ghost is going to jump out and chop off your head. Mm-hmm. But spoiler alert, that never happens, because it's the game is actually not about scary things at all.
Right, absolutely.
That game is really a masterpiece in a different way of, like, throwing, like, this curveball at you that you think it's going to be this scary game, and then you find out it's actually, like, a different type of tragedy that's going on that's very... In some ways, it's kind of relatable. I mean, you know, I realize it's not an experience everybody's gone through, but I think that whole, like, teenage angst, I think everybody's felt teenage angst at some point.
Oh, definitely.
And there's a lot of that that you explore through the eyes of the character's sister and Gone Home. So anyway, I'm digressing a little bit, but my point is that they are more the games that are driven by the story, and you are just this participant watching, not necessarily participating.
Right.
As if it were an action game or something. You're more of an observer. Mm-hmm. That's especially the case in Rapture. You are definitely an observer in that game. And, you know, even games with simple puzzle elements like Firewatch and things, you're still like just an observer who has to do things to see the whole picture. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think another game that got that, you know, that caught some heat, even though I think the good obviously overpowered the bad, was Journey. Even though, you know, Journey, there are certain elements of Journey, you know, where it feels action-y. You don't necessarily do anything, but Journey caught a lot of heat for the same thing. I just paid $20 for a 2-hour game. Why?
That's because it's the best damn 2 hours of your life.
Damn straight.
That Journey is an interesting example of something that kind of, because obviously genres blend. Mm-hmm. So Journey is kind of a blend of that narrative mixed with a Mario 64 type of game.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. And you know, with a lot more limitations. You know, all you have is limited jumps and not much else. Limited jumps and floats. So.
Free Kill Zero says, I haven't played Gone Home, but isn't that Dragon Cancer in a similar vein? I have not played that one start to finish yet, because I keep waiting for that day where, like, do I have a 24-hour period where I can cry nonstop and not leave the house? I'm serious. Yeah, I don't even mean to, like, just everything I know about preparing me for this game is that, like, it's like that. I don't know for you guys, but for me, it's like, if Rob breaks out the Tori Amos CDs, like, it's a day. You know, that says a lot about how the day is going to go.
Can I ask a question about that?
Sure.
I would love your thought. I don't know how familiar you are with that Dragon Cancer game. The creator of the game, for those who may not know what that game is about, it's essentially the developer created this game surrounding his son, and you know, the son had passed and so on and so forth. And this game was a very striking game. And when the developer got awarded at the game awards, whatever it was called, I can't remember the name of it.
Is that the big hubbaloo that Jeff Keighley does?
The game awards or whatever. So the developer caught a lot of heat because, you know, obviously the controversy was, you're making money off the illness of and death of your son. So, you know, so I, yeah, you know, so
Rob is currently looking at his brain.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, I know for me, there are games in for me that I know I want to make to talk about my experiences with my family, because, you know, eventually they're going to go, they're going to go. And there's going to be things that I want to remember them by in, you know, in different ways. But what are your thoughts? You know, what are your thoughts of that?
This is a great question. I'm going to put it as simply as I can.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into any museum and see paintings of the Civil War or paintings of, you know, tragedies that have happened in culture, are those people profiting off of human tragedies? No, because art is a spontaneous expression mm-hmm. of culture. And that is what that dragon cancer is. It is an expression of what this person was going through. But guess what? Expressions don't pay the fucking rent. So, yes, the guy gets to sell this because other people, you know, get to have this experience that many people are not going to, fortunately, I suppose, get to experience. You know what I mean by that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, yes, it's fine for him to charge money for it. Mm-hmm. If you don't like it, don't fucking pay it.
Right.
Go on to the next, download the next CD on your list or whatever you're going to steal for free. And then,
CD.
You know? Well, that's, no, that's you're right, what it guys. Is. Right?
It's just funny.
I don't fucking pay for art. And the hippies. And all those Burning Man hippies. I don't pay for art. Come on.
I hear that. Okay.
Art don't pay the rent.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thought.
Fascinating.
Anyway.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby Blackwell for reminding me, Journey played live is awesome. He's not talking about the band, but at MAGFest, that Journey's cool too. But
yes.
Back to the game. MAGFest, they did the Austin Wintory conducting live. That was my first yes. MAGFest, and I swear to God, that's what made a MAGFest mm-hmm. fan out of me. Was going to that. It was a lot
yeah.
of fun.
Yeah. That was. I saw bits and pieces of that, and it nearly brought me to tears just because, you know, like just the impact that game itself has had on me, and just to see that had happened. Yeah,
there is something about a crowd of 4,000 people or however many people were there when, to everyone's surprise, another player showed up in Journey. And everybody assumed that because this was like it was going to be a controlled environment and right. that they were just going to be running through the game. Like, and okay, if you haven't experienced Journey by now, I guess I can tell you the big twist. In mm-hmm. my opinion, this was a twist, and this was always better if you didn't know about this going into the game. But the reality is, it's been years. Mm-hmm. I need to get this off my chest now. The big twist in the game is that it's secretly a multiplayer game.
Yep.
Is that you may be going through this experience, and all of a sudden, somebody who looks like you and everything just like you shows up. And at first, you're like, "Is this an NPC?" But you don't really know because you can't talk to them. You're not connected on voice chat or anything like that. All you can do is you can hit your button to go burr, burr, and like make these little musical tones and like mm-hmm. chirp at them, right?
Yep.
So, and then that's how you, and that's the magic of the game is those, how you experience your journey with another person, mm-hmm. or did you just run on ahead and leave that guy in the dust, literally, or what? It's how you choose to do that. So anyway, my point is there was something really magical about reliving that in a crowd of 4,000 people when you're going through this and all of a sudden another person showed up and everybody was like, oh shit, like mm-hmm. they're online mm-hmm. and there's another person here. And like, I remember even when they beat the game and it showed the name of the, because it shows these are the people that you went on.
I lost my mind.
The
when
whole
I saw-
audience started cheering. Mm. People were going on Twitter. Who is this person? Do you know that you just played in front of MAGFest? I don't think they ever found who it was.
Yeah. And that was the, yeah. Oh God.
I know it was so, like, yeah. I can't explain it. There's, I can't put words on a moment like that. Like as just yeah. a gaming fan, like that moment when it's like, I'm not alone.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Barf just thinking about it. It's
I know.
So,
yeah. No,
so
seriously.
Powerful.
I'm getting.
Yeah.
I recently streamed that game for their 5-year anniversary. They had a 5-year anniversary earlier in March, and I totally streamed it on Twitch that day mm-hmm. to celebrate that 5-year, and it still brought me to tears at the end mm-hmm. of the show. I had to like mute my mic because I was like,
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was done. Ooh, yeah.
But let me now back to those Twitter egg icons, or excuse me, what are the icons now? The oval people, or whatever the fuck they are on Twitter now. Like, okay,
the creepy things.
So the oval people now that are tweeting that dragon cancer guy shouldn't be making any money or whatever. Mm-hmm. Did you pay money for Journey?
Right, yeah, there's yeah.
Art don't pay the fucking rent. No. Expressions don't pay the rent. Mm-hmm. Money pays the rent.
Yep. And that's the level of ignorance we as developers have to deal with when we make anything. You know, I played a game like this for free and had so much more. I mean, we talked about this on previous shows. It's like, what justifies the price of an indie game? What makes it quality over just a waste of Steam credits or whatever the hell? And yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but you're absolutely right. You know, art doesn't. It doesn't. It gives us an opportunity to share who we are, but we still got to keep the roof over our head.
Yeah, so, yeah,
yeah.
You know, and it sometimes it's just everybody's going to be a fan of something, and everything's going to have its haters. You know, somewhere out there is somebody who loves Bomberman Zero Mission on Xbox 360. It's got its fan club. It's small. It may not even be in this country. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But it's got its fans somewhere, and more power to them.
Probably the same people who still play Phantasy Star Online on the 360.
Excuse you. You better watch
Phantasy
where
Star
you're
Online
fucking
is
going.
Great.
You better watch. You better stay in your fucking lane.
That's why I started kind of turning left as I said that, because I already knew what was about to happen. That was fun. Thank you.
So I don't mind coming back on the show next year to promote Indie Arcade.
Without by yourself, me? Yeah,
that'd be fantastic. Thank
yeah.
you.
But you'll replace him in no time. I'm kidding. Wait.
What?
There we go. All right. So anyway, so that whole conversation from your gaming week, Bree, thank you for sharing. We spent 30 minutes with our analysis of walking simulators and all that. No, but it's great. Gabe, quickly, your gaming week. What'd you play?
Between Mass Effect Andromeda, Fallout Shelter on Xbox One, super addictive free game. I decided to actually spend a couple dollars on that game because fantastic free app game, I should say. Although it's not the most user friendly, you know, experience, but it's still it's still really really good game. So between that and What else was I messing with? I kind of started dabbling again in Resident Evil 7. I haven't beat that game yet. I've just been – it's just one of those – I can only play that game in short spurts. But there was one other game I've been replaying Rayman Origins as well since it became Xbox One compatible. I never completed Origins. I beat Legends, but I never completed Origins, so I'm trying to finally beat that game. So I'm close to it now. I also dabbled in Halo Wars 2 a little bit, but yeah, Halo Wars 2 came out at the wrong time because Andromeda came out, and it was like, and I messed around with Breath of the Wild a little bit on the Wii U. Gorgeous game. I don't care too much about the frame rate thing, but again, that's just one of those games where I can only play one huge exploration type game at a time, and Andromeda was going to be it for me. So yeah, so that's what I've been playing, and the next EDF game is coming out later this year. So yeah, so I'm
so you and Loki can bro out over that.
Yeah,
I don't get into those games the same way you guys do. But
no, and that's okay. That's all right. I mean, I'm just happy that you never played it. I maybe somebody in the chat room will relate, but or even Bree, because I've complained about it to her. The soldier will now be able to run because they finally added a run button for the soldier.
Oh, nice.
Instead of me rolling constantly to speed forward, you know. Yeah, you know. So now. They were genius enough to add a friggin' run button. It's like, okay, I get the wing diver can fly, but still make the dude run. So, you know, but anyway, so I'm happy about that stuff. I've been dabbling
quality
with.
Quality of life things are huge.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. My gaming week. So I've been obviously playing a lot of Mass Effect Andromeda. That's still been kind of continuing to dominate my week. Still, I am enjoying it. It probably even more so now than a week ago. Been trying to. It's hard to juggle multiplayer and single player. That's my biggest downfall right now. Is that multiplayer is still really fun for me.
Really?
I'm glad we got to do that stream. We did a live stream after the show last week where I played some multiplayer.
Oh, nice.
Sadly, the matchmaking was busted. So it was like, let's see how long Dungeon Buster was a good sport, and he played with me, and it was just the two of us, and we were able to survive a couple waves on our own. But you really need four people because it's balanced for four people.
Oh.
But when I do get the matches of four people, multiplayer is a lot of fun. And Lord knows I spent a ton of time in multiplayer Mass Effect 3. That's the reason why I bought the game so many times. So
I need to play.
Yeah, well, now that I'm on PC, I can play multiplayer.
I got to confess about that, actually. The Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, and I'll probably get some good laughs at my cost for this. But for the longest time, up until my friend back home in Jersey, Tino, he tells me, I thought Mass Effect, the multiplayer part was competitive for the longest time. Well, that's the thing. It took me two years after the game came out for him and I to have a talk about it. He's like, oh, well, you got to get into the multiplayer thing. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not a competitive person. I do co-op. And then there was this dead silence, and he's typing all these dots on the screen, and I'm like, oh my God, what did I just say? And then he just railed me. He's like, Gabriel, the whole thing is co-op. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you only play the community. And I'm telling you, that night I hopped right on that, and I felt like such a dumbass. I was like, oh my God, I could have been playing this forever.
It blows my mind how much multiplayer in Mass Effect is ignored when it's such a like positive trait that the game has going for it. The fact that it exists in conjunction with the single player campaign, like, it really blows my mind how much multiplayer gets ignored. I even went on Twitch the other night because I'm like, oh, I want to see. I think it was after I was done streaming. I was like, I want to see who else streams multiplayer and what they do. And there was probably like maybe 15, 20 different channels streaming Mass Effect Andromeda. None of them doing multiplayer. None of them. And in a lot of the reviews of the game, multiplayer rarely got touched on. Now, I understand the embargo, I think, was up like a day after the online servers went live. So people probably didn't have the chance to really test it. But
yeah.
And I get it. Like, some people don't want to touch multiplayer at all because some people are like, ooh, the competitive stuff. It's like kind of like what you were saying, like the competitive stuff. And people don't even know. Like, no, it's all co-op, and it actually creates a much better environment than most multiplayer things
and
do.
And that's what pleased me with it, Mass Effect 3. And eventually I'll play Andromeda for the co-op, but I want to go through the story first.
No, and it's probably not a bad thing to do. I just enjoyed it in 3 so much I had to. So, okay, I've been playing Mass Effect Andromeda, but I've been playing some other games too. I've been playing Clicker Heroes because I hate my life. and I just, it's so addicting, you guys. It's so addicting. And I have to get more trophies on PlayStation 4. Those fucking trophies. but then, okay, we haven't talked a lot about April Fool's jokes tonight. But I gotta say, Sega fucking won. Because they put out on Steam 8-bit Bayonetta.
Yes! I saw that! Oh, my
goodness. It's like, temper your expectations. It's not like a full-on platform or anything. It's a silly thing. Like, it could have been a mobile game, people.
Right.
Like, literally all it is, like, you have two buttons, like, jump and shoot. And so it's like, you can just stay in one place and shoot the things, or you can jump and hit the other thing. It's silly. But the fact that it exists is great, because that means Sega's still thinking about Bayonetta.
Yep.
And they put it on PC,
mm-hmm.
on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
Could this be a sign that they might be doing Bayo or Bayo 2 on Steam at some point? I hope so.
Now, the question, of course, is Bayo 2 was heavily, heavily partnered by Nintendo. So, where it was only, exclusive only with Nintendo. So, we'll see how that plays out, but,
Well, I imagine that agreement's got to be up at some point, but seriously, between all the Mario Kart 8 and Splatoon sequel and rumors of a Smash Brothers and all this stuff, like, if any Wii U game deserves a second fucking chance, it's Bayo 2.
Oh, no kidding.
Like, put it on the Switch. Put it on the Switch.
Bayo 2 was...
Hashtag, put it on the Switch.
Get switched. Hashtag, get switched. So, Bayonetta 2... absolutely astounding game. Absolutely. I loved part one, but my God, part two just went in a direction I didn't think could be topped.
It's seriously like the best game that the least number of people have played.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so
You're
sad.
You're right.
Yeah. Here I thought that Sinbad got it.
Okay, Sinbad did do really good on April Fool's Day.
The Shazam thing was pretty funny.
You know, talk about just make a lemonade out of lemons, right? Or in his case, Sinbad's case, how to make some fucking money off of it. Do you realize he just turned a joke into money? Mm-hmm. He turned an internet urban legend. He made money off of it. What can be more American than that?
Right.
But
very true.
Somebody's going to yell at the guy who made that dragon cancer. Meanwhile, Sinbad's making April Fool's jokes with ads on it. And yeah.
Come and they mean about, yeah, they're on, massive hypocrisy. But that's why we love this.
Shut up, internet. All right.
You don't. You're drunk. Log off.
Drunk on power. And then I wanted to. I need to give this game a shout out too, because this is actually we're going to have these guys on the show in a couple weeks. An indie developer. So get this, Captain Matt from Starboard Power Coupling apparently has. He's one of those like small world thing. Apparently has some friends who are indie developers, and their game Lil Tanks is hitting Steam on Tuesday.
Nice.
One of them's here in Sacramento, and of course I told him, I said, so it's probably a little late to submit, but do you know about this Indie Arcade event? You know, so I don't know if they're coming or what have you, but yeah, so another game, Lil Tanks. So that game actually goes on sale Tuesday, but they were good enough to let me have a little peek at it early, so I was playing that over the weekend.
Nice.
And it's kind of like it definitely feels like something that's probably inspired by Bullet Hell games,
but
because it's tanks, it runs sideways. So it kind of get, you know how like a lot of like Japanese shooty games are very narrow because that's how the arcade cabinets were. This one kind of flips it on the side because it's tanks. So it's different. It's very indie, you know. Mm-hmm, but it's the soundtrack's really good too. They are going to be here on Easter in 2 weeks when we're back with Orange.
Oh, awesome.
They're going to be here on the show. So those are the next guests we have up. So that out.
I am already thinking about Heavy Weapon on Xbox 360.
Yes.
Xbox Live Arcade.
Yes, I'll have to bring that up. How influenced were you by Heavy Weapon?
Yes, Heavy Weapon.
Definitely, definitely. I'm getting some Heavy Weapon.
Shout out the PopCap. That was a great, great, great frigging game. So,
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that's awesome.
So check that out. That hits Steam on Tuesday. Lil Tanks. It was a Kickstarter success, too. They had to fund on Kickstarter.
Nice.
And they made it. So good for them. So we'll ask them more questions in a couple weeks when they're here. But I want to make sure they got a shout out because, unfortunately, with us not having a show next week, I couldn't get them here the week their game was out. So I want to make sure they got a shout out now. So we're all good. So
well,
check that out.
Well, that's good. You could boost week two sales for an indie developer.
That's true. You know, when so many games are kind of like, if you don't make it your first week, you know, see you later.
Yeah.
I think that's good. That's good to have the lasting presence.
Absolutely.
Weeks two and three and so forth. Very, very true. All right. Anyhow, I think that's going to do it for Gaming Weeks. Let's just do some quick housekeeping. Again, there will be no show live here next Sunday because we will be live on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. for us.
Yep.
We'll be live on the network, provided there are no tech issues. There's always that disclaimer. There could always be a tech fuck-up, in which case we will record and bring to you in OLR's place the next night. But we will not be here because we will be busy with the event. And actually, also just selfishly, Dark Soccer and I have a longtime friend who's going to be here from Japan who happens to be here that Sunday. So it's
so
like,
so excited.
It's like one of those things like, okay, guys, since we're putting in the hours the day before, we're going to take the night off to go be with our friends. So.
F is for friendship.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Well, du jour means friendship.
And honestly, how long has it been since she's been in the U.S.?
Yeah, like a year at least.
Yeah, so this will be really, really nice.
Yeah,
and she's
nice.
Bringing me Kit Kats.
Oh, from there?
Yeah, my favorite flavor right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Fantastic.
So, but we will be back on, Easter Sunday. So if WrestleMania can't stop us, you know Easter ain't going to stop us. So
mine remains to be seen.
Oh, really?
Because it's the sisters.
I'm like, we're going to be missing the Jewish person on Easter, really?
Well, I'm right, it's Passover.
All right, fair enough.
That's true.
I will be hosting a Seder on Wednesday if you want to come eat horseradish and matzah with us.
Matzah's, it's an acquired taste, but yeah. All right.
Matzah is, to quote a friend of mine, it's like Jewish X-lax. It's very binding.
Wow. All right, anyhow, So
she's not wrong.
So fine. I get
totally not wrong.
This, I swear to God, this happened to me for a month last year where I had flip flop posts for the whole month. It was like 1 week Loki was here and Jamie wasn't. Then Jamie was here and Loki wasn't. So we're gonna do this again this month. So check that out. We'll be back on April 16th. I can also tell you now. I know this is a ways out, but I just want to make sure y'all can plan.
It's also right before my birthday.
It is. It is. You're gonna miss your birthday show. That's fine.
I'll do it the week after.
Let's quickly talk about OLR's birthday show. So OLR's 15th birthday show is going to be June 18th.
Quinceañera.
Here's the thing with the quinceañera. That's 2 months out. We don't have time to get a ballroom or any of that shit. So my thought is,
can I just wear a pretty dress?
Yes, you can wear a pretty dress. Let's invite some of our friends to the studio to just have a nice 15th episode. Invite some of our friends. We'll see if maybe the Game Bang guys want to come back. Or
I can sing some Spanish music.
Yeah, you can. We'll get some folks here in studio. And then maybe for episode 700, maybe our friends that have done event planning in the past will give me a list of contacts. And for episode 700, we can maybe look at like, or something, maybe would be willing to host episode 700, and we could do an event like that. I had to mouse something to the co-hosts because I don't want to put it on air. But
secrets.
Yes, we have enough time to plan.
Keep in mind, in Alabama, I had no idea what that was called, that it was a thing. I had never heard of that until I moved to California.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally want to get everything done and wear a floofy 80s style dress.
You go ahead. You want to do full drag for the quinceañera? Go for it.
Well, I already do
give
that.
Give us your best Valentina.
It's just reenacting Breakfast Club, apparently. That's cool.
But no, I will not ask if anyone wants to see my cuckoo.
But episode 700 should be in about 4 months. I hope it's not the same weekend as Dragon Con. I don't think it would be. It would be probably right around mid-September, I think, is when that would fall. I'll have to plot it out on a list somewhere, so. All right, well, Bree, you're dying to say something over there.
No, what? 4 months is plenty of time to plan a proper party.
Yeah, so I think this. Okay, so Gabe and Bree are doing the we're going to talk thing. So get ready, y'all. Episode 700, we're going to bring to you everything we promised for the quinceañera in proper OLR tardy fashion. So,
and since JD said OMG Valentina, I want that wig.
All right, look,
that red wig.
I got another podcast to talk about all that. All right.
But you've never had me on.
Oh, man. We had a spot available this last week, too, because Spike was in Japan. Oh, well. Anyway. We got to move on. We got to get into some gaming news and what's going on. Oh, I didn't say the whole thing with the quinceañera. So the actual 15th birthday will be June 18th because we're giving ourselves the best birthday present ever, taking a week off. On June 25th. So we will not be here live June 25th.
Awesome.
Just booked it today. Hubby and I are going to finally take our proper honeymoon. We're going to go to Chicago.
I saw that tweet. Congrats, man.
We have some friends that live out in Chicago. And for a couple years now, they've been saying, you got to come to Pride out in Chicago. It's a lot of fun. Come to Pride. That also, you guys may remember, the show is right around my birthday. So it's just kind of one of those, like, everything lines up just right. So we're going to...
That's wonderful. You guys deserve that. That's excellent.
They'll be fucking gay as hell. That's what... No, show is canceled due to gay. That is exactly what is happening on June 25th. Show canceled due to gay. The gay agenda has finally succeeded in overthrowing an episode of OLR. All right. Yes, there's Rama in chat. Isn't that the gay agenda? Yes. All right. Let's get into some news this week at the top of the show. Again, we're missing Loki unexpectedly. Did you want me to start Darkstalker, or did you want to start with
this
one?
Yes, you start.
Okay, I'm going to start with this one. So let's talk about the Video Game Hall of Fame. Did you know there was a Video Game Hall of Fame? I would hope so, because we've talked about it a couple years past. There have only been 12 games inducted into the Hall of Fame previously. Doom, Grand Theft Auto 3, The Legend of Zelda, Oregon Trail, Pac-Man, Pong, The Sims, Sonic the Hedgehog, Space Invaders, Super Mario Brothers, Tetris, and World of Warcraft. So the Video Game Hall of Fame has the nominees for the 2017 class to announce. You could think of this as something similar to like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and that whole thing. Because isn't Journey finally getting inducted to Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year?
I think I heard something about that, yes.
Yeah, because there's rumors that Steve Perry might actually fucking show up. And that like has everybody like, OMG, right?
Well, yeah, Bob Dylan finally accepted the Pulitzer or something like that, or Nobel Peace Prize. So, yes. Yeah, anything's possible now.
Yes. So, anyway, this is the Strong Museum of Play is located in Rochester, New York. That's where this whole thing is located, if you want to know where it is physically. Okay, so here's the part, like most podcasts are going to do. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to read the list and then tell you how much it sucks. No, we're going to tell you what we would put in. So I'm going to tell y'all I'm going to ask y'all of this list, which one is the most important? Which one needs to be in that fucking Hall of Fame already? You ready? You get to pick one. If you pick two, I'm muting you. All right.
I'm cutting your mic off.
Pick one. Here it is.
Okay.
Donkey Kong Country, Final Fantasy VII, Halo Combat Evolved, Microsoft Windows. Sorry, you all know why I'm laughing, long time of all our listeners. Microsoft Windows Solitaire, Mortal Kombat, Myst, Pokemon Red and Green, Portal, Resident Evil, Street Fighter 2, Tomb Raider, and Wii Sports. This is fucking easy for me, but what do you think? One game on that list. It's Halo, right?
I snorted over here. Didn't you hear that?
I had to.
And I'm going strictly on objective reasoning here, but I would pick Street Fighter 2.
And why is that?
Because it was the game that innovated the fighting game genre, mm-hmm. and has contributed to so many clones. And I don't even think we'd would have Mortal Kombat if not for Street Fighter 2. So, I mean, true, there was just the first Street Fighter, and it was okay. But Street Fighter 2 was the one that gained the real notoriety. And now, I mean, the franchise is still going strong today, so it has to count for something.
All right. Bree, can I pick on Bree? Did you pick one from that list that you think needs to be there?
I was going to say Mortal Kombat, but then I was just swayed by the knowledge of Jamie because I was only in first or second grade when Street Fighter 2 came out, I think. So I didn't really know, but I was going to say Mortal Kombat because the rating system came out then, right?
That's a good point.
I was just about to say, you know, even though, yes, she makes a compelling argument, you make, like, that is the thing that Mortal Kombat brought the industry is Mortal
Fatality.
Kombat caused our industry to self-regulate itself. So don't discount that. That's huge what that game did. So fair counterpoint. Gabe, for you.
So, yeah, I would almost say Street Fighter 2 as well, because Street Fighter 2 really did change the landscape of fighting games, period. Though one can argue, where's Virtua Fighter? But anyway, that's more in a 3D thing. But on both a personal level, on a very personal level, and then just on the technological standpoint, I'm going to say Donkey Kong Country.
Ooh.
Because Donkey Kong Country is, that was the first game to incorporate 3D graphics in a 16-bit system.
Counter that. There's a game on the TurboGrafx-16 called Sapphire.
Okay. Counter to counter. How many kids owned a Super Nintendo versus how many kids owned a TurboGrafx-16?
We also had Star Fox. We also had Stunt Race.
Okay. So the significance with Star Fox is because of that Super FX chip that allowed a full 3D environment to be played, where unlike Mode 7, where everything was flat, you know, the Super FX chip allowed an actual playable 3D environment. Although it was linear and it was pathed, you know, you could still do that. But the significance with Donkey Kong Country was that it utilized actual silicone graphic models and animations into a 16-bit system, and it was done. It's just an astounding game, and for me, you know, it proved that anything was possible. You know, VR was already come. You know, VR was just beginning to blow up back then, because you're talking 93, 94 that this came out. And so for, you know, and that was one of the games that ultimately inspired me to want to get into computer animation.
You had to be 10 or 12 or a kid at the time and see that fucking game for the first time where it's like your head just fucking explodes.
I still have the video of the behind the scenes from that Nintendo Power included. It was a CD that included a making of Donkey Kong Country and all this other stuff. And it highlighted the actual development behind it and things like that.
Did you have the balls to call the chat room nerds earlier and then come with that?
let me make another step aside from that. I as far as I was aware, the characters were rendered, yes, but they're still sprites in game. So they're still...
Yeah.
The rendering was converted into sprite, so it technically is still sprite animation. Mm-hmm. But, and of course, the backgrounds are easy to do because they're all going to be a flat 2D entity just rendered from 3D graphics.
Right, certainly. Absolutely.
So, in that being the respect, maybe the creation of the game had a little bit more tech going into it, but at the end of the day, it's still a platformer.
Oh, yeah, it was still a platformer, but I think that was the genius behind it. It was the fact that, you know, yes, it was a platformer, but, you know, it was, you know, it was the first time you had full, you know, fully animated, full-framed characters and movement and expressions done that was actually genuinely powered by, you know, a silicon graphics machine, you know, not a chip. And, you know, that's where Star Fox comes in.
Yeah.
Star Fox come, you know, they created a, you know, a proprietary
Super
chip,
XF,
but Donkey Kong Country did not. Okay. It used an actual silicon graphics, and that wasn't cheap back then. So,
For me, Street Fighter II, no contest, but not the reason Jamie said. I mean, not that what she said, but for me, it's the arcades in general. Like, it's not even just the fighting games. It's just the 90s arcades was defined by Street Fighter II, I think. And I think that's it. This game probably had a greater impact than any other game. It's really close with Pokemon, though, but I don't want to turn off my own mic. So that's all I'm going to say. So, because, well, okay, I can't. All right.
He wants to so
I
badly.
Want to so bad, but we need to move on. So let's talk about...
One other thing I will go back and say about Sapphire, it was one of the PC Engine Turbo game, or Duo games.
That's
so it was
right.
CD.
Yes, it was CD. That's why.
But I'm posting a picture in the chat room.
But still, wonderful reference. Yeah, Sapphire, wonderful reference. But.
And it goes for like $800.
Give or take, yeah.
So, anyway, one game that, hey, based on the early reviews, might end up in the Hall of Fame in 10 years, who knows? Persona 5, finally making its way out this week. You know, Persona has its rabid fans. People are really freaking excited about Persona 5. See, here's the thing, and we talked a little bit about this on the call with Bobby earlier tonight. I have no hate in my heart for Persona. In fact, I've played a little bit of Persona 4 on the Vita, and I do think it's really cool and a different experience. The problem is, like, it takes like 100 hours to get through one of those games. And it's like, it's hard enough for me to play the games that I play. Like, Brie, would you be able to squeeze in 100 hours to play Persona 5 this week? this week?
One of my volunteers for the event has actually started it, and he's like, oh, you should try this. I'm like,
yeah, you know, let me pencil you in 2019. But yeah, that's just the type of time commitment it's going to take. But I know, like, especially JRPG fans, very excited about Persona. The reviews are off the charts for this game. It's going to be, this is one other interesting thing about this year. Lots of solid game reviews. You know, it's funny because a couple weeks ago, I think I said, oh, Zelda Breath of the Wild is going to be game of the year. It's already over. And now I'm like, shit, maybe actually that was a little early to say that. I mean, it really was early to say that. But shit, for some people, it's definitely going to be Persona 5. I think it just depends on the type of game you're into. But like, it's getting a lot of solid reviews over there as well. And there's other games, too, that we're getting to really. Like, this has been a really just good fucking year for games so far. So anyway. Persona 5, of course, going to be coming out on PlayStation 3 and 4 because the game was originally supposed to be a PS3 exclusive.
That's true.
It's just taken, they've been taking their sweet ass time.
Smart move, though.
Hey, we talked about Andromeda not being a well-cooked meal last week, and now this one is going to be a well-cooked meal, so that'll be exciting. However, here's the thing. The share button is going to be disabled. You will not be able to share the pictures. You won't be able to stream the game, at least natively, through the PlayStation 4. They have cut all of that off, and Atlas did this. I guess this happens in other Japanese game releases on PlayStation 4. I know like cutscenes in other games have been blocked and so forth, but the whole game blocked. You are not going to be able to stream it. Although, we all know, all you're going to need is a capture card.
Capture card, yeah.
The extra outside material, and people will be streaming this. So in my opinion, it's given, it's just giving those people a advantage, so to speak, in the competition market, but
did they state,
it is what it is.
Did they
They're not going to stop it.
Did they state why they blocked
story
the
story spoilers. It's really what it is. They just don't want people ruining it. Yeah, but it's going to happen anyway.
But I'm saying, like, block Andromeda, if that's the case. Block Zelda. I mean,
well,
you're
but that's EA and Nintendo. That's not Atlas.
Yeah, but I mean, if that's the core, if that's the premise for why they're going to block it, those stories, you know, we want to spoil the story. It's like, mm-hmm. if it takes 100 hours, give or take, you know, to beat, it'll be the end of the year at the least. So, I mean, before really... What are you ruining? But
I mean, if it's one thing if they want to block the cutscenes or the big story moments or things like that. But I mean, like, let us stream the battle sequences and things like that,
yeah.
at least, you know, the actual game elements. It's a little weird, but I just kind of think it's going to end up being useless. OK, so the PlayStation can't do it natively. Welp, people have capture cards in their computer. They're going to get around it.
Yep.
So that's that. This game will be streamed. Actually, it's probably going to make more people want to stream it because they're going to feel like they have the exclusive on it now that this news is out there. You just made this a hotter property.
Yep, you told us we can't. We will.
I know the internet overuses this fucking term, but it's Streisand effect.
it's true. No.
That like most overused thing on the internet. But anyway. Right. All right. To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, poison. Dark Sakura, what do you got for us?
Well, some stuff about Oculus-ish. The co-founder, Palmer Luckey, is leaving Facebook. He had his last day already. There's no real notice as to why or not. However, it was revealed that he was a supporter of 45, because that name is not worth mentioning on the show. And he also created these memes that attacked Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, from what, you know, again, I want to watch the politics and everything, but my understanding is it was those memes and they, I mean, it's, you know, people feel however they feel politically, but it was the memes and the involvement and all that stuff that people were really taking issue with. It was like, it wasn't just the politics, it was the heavy involvement in what was kind of...
It was a big smear campaign.
It wasn't Pizzagate, but it was...
It was a smear campaign.
Yeah.
That's what it was, plain and simple.
So anyway.
And so Facebook's statement about it is just that they... wish him well and thought his innovative spirit helped kickstart the modern VR revolution and build an industry.
But we've been hiding him in the basement for the past 6 months until his contract ran out anyway.
Yeah,
because that seems obvious what's been happening here. Where the fuck has he been? Yeah,
They kept him in the naughty room.
Yeah, clearly. Christian Grey was like, come here in my room of secrets. All right.
Oh, let's not give that any attention.
I couldn't help myself.
But it's so disgusting.
Yeah. Bobby Blackwolf also points out, you know, besides the political stuff, he said he also violated an NDA and caused Facebook to lose a $500 million lawsuit.
There was that too.
That was kind of a big deal. That was just a little thing.
Yeah.
An incident.
Whoops. That was sort of a thing.
A performance improvement plan was put in his file.
AKA the punishment basement.
Mm-hmm. He was pipped.
And Black Wolf wants to clarify, he didn't create the memes. He gave the money to the people who made the memes. Sorry, I thought I had made that clear.
Well, he's still responsible for their inception.
So he gave them the markers, I guess you could say. Anyway.
Now he has
anyway. Anyway, what else was there?
That's it.
No, I thought that was... Oh,
it's your turn.
Is it?
It's your turn.
All right, fine. We can talk about Destiny 2. Because, you're right. Destiny 2 finally got confirmed this week. Yay. It was already kind of leaked last week. I think there were some posters that were around out there. But anyway, there's Destiny 2 is being confirmed. And there's some actual artwork for the game that's now out there, as well as a trailer and so forth. So a lot of folks that are getting hyped for Destiny 2. Also, you will not, again, be able to carry over the exact same characters But the other big news about Destiny 2, you are going to get to play this on PC. Destiny 2 will be out for PC, which means it's keyboard and mouse time. So that's going to be pretty exciting because for first-person shooters, you know, it's funny because I think if I were to go back 10 years on this show, there was a point where I was like, oh, controllers are still really good. But I think just something has evolved over the years. And, like, keyboard and mouse, that's the only way I can play shooters. Like, well, I play Overwatch on PS4, but I'm better at it on PC. Of course, so is everybody else. But, you know.
I found that the pistol works just like a sniper rifle if you put the shot on the scope on it. So that's how I've been playing through the whole thing of Andromeda.
Oh, for Andromeda, yeah.
Yeah, it's been especially good to have that fine control on a mouse.
Andromeda multiplayer is hard with the controller for me because I can't get headshots. It's hard. I have to play, like, people that can do pew-pew fire lasers and things that, like,
space magic
sink. Yes.
All the way.
Space magic. So on PC, I'll be able to be a little more accurate. So I have to say, even I myself, I'm interested when it comes to PC. I want to hear a little more about what the expansions are going to look like for Destiny 2, because that's where I got a little turned off on the first game, is that then it was like every few months, it's like, you have to have this expansion, you have to have this expansion, and now there's this other thing, and it's like, I kind of fell off the wagon at some point, and didn't really fucking feel like getting back on, you know, and mm-hmm. There wasn't really, I feel like the way they were trying to sell it too was weird, like, well, we're not going to sell just a catch-up pack, but we'll sell a Destiny Plus. This is like they want to resell me stuff I already bought. And I'm like, no.
It was one of the poorest executions when it came to the download of content, because I barely had – I loved the first Destiny. I really – you know, the basic of it. Then, you know, Taken King. So then I got to Taken King because I heard it was a massive improvement over the initial Destiny. And I'm like, okay, great. So, you know, I got it on a deal. I sold my other Destiny game, and, you know, everything was great. And just to only find out, what, 6 months later, if that, Rise of Iron. And I'm like, okay, how much is that going to cost? And that $30 just for the I said, hold. So I start cursing in Spanish in my head. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but I just spent $40 on Taken King, Destiny and Taken King, and... You know, and now I need Rise of Iron, which I heard was terrible, with a few exceptions. But, you know, as a developer, you know, if you're a developer out there, indie, AAA, cut the shit with that already. Stop, you know, because now they've announced Destiny 2, and now, you know, this whole $100 pre-order thing, you know, to get both, pre-order the downloaded packs, you know, the DLC for that as well. And, you know, you really want to create this fault line between your, you know, in your customers. That's going to be the way to do it.
Yeah.
And it just awful. Because I remember meeting a few people who made that game, and they expressed just acidic disdain for those business decisions behind
there
that.
Was also, remember when the game first came out, there were all these rumblings about they fucking hit the reset button on that game like 2 years ago. It's Final Fantasy 15 had a very similar path to Final Fantasy 15.
Yes, it did.
Is mm-hmm. that Destiny was supposed to be something like completely different, and then they hit the reset button, and then it's like, we have to fucking get a game out, and it's happening now. And you could even feel it when you're playing the game. You're like, there's this whole rich story, and then all of a sudden the story just kind of just stops for the last half of the game, and then that's it. That's like, what the fuck was that?
And that's one of my other biggest pet peeves with that. Don't sell me this massively expansive game, you know, where, you know, you're going to have all these unique story experiences, you know, buzzword after buzzword after buzzword, only for me to find out that, oh, in order to find out more about who you just killed and who's with you now, you know, here's a card which you can't look at until you go on our website. F off, because, like, I'm here playing on console. You know, and I was saying, like, you didn't even make it for PC, and you want to tell me to go online to look at a stupid card so I can find out who I killed and why? Get out of here with that nonsense. So I'm good.
I'm interested in Destiny 2 on PC if it's clear that they're going to take a different path with some of the way they've done the DLC and stuff, but mm-hmm. I'm not exactly going to hold my breath on that. So we'll see.
I'm not.
We'll see.
Nope.
All right. Moving right along. Dark Sakura.
Well, I have a couple of stories. One of them is about mad cats. Bobby already talked about it, so I'm not going to go too much into detail. But Mad Cats filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and as of March 30th, they started liquidating. So they're basically going to pay off all their lenders ASAFP. Chapter 7, the difference between that and Chapter 11, as I'm sure we've heard of both in the business world, is that Chapter 7 would make you liquidate and basically vacate board of directors and officers. It's the death of the company. Chapter 11 usually allows for restructuring.
Yeah, Chapter 11 is like Radio Shack right now, right? And what's the other? Not yet Sears. But in the coming days.
It's happening.
Yep. It's just sad.
Mad Cats, as we know, were co-publishers for some of the Rock Band games. They also made many, many a cheap controller. I still blame Hori for their death because Hori makes better controllers.
They do, actually. Yeah.
And, I mean, in 2016, their CEO resigned. They laid off 37% of their employees, so none of this should really be a surprise. Their stock's been shit, basically, for a while now. So I'm sure that anyone who watches financial markets saw this coming. So the other news, which is also shitty news. It was stated that as of March 31st, a couple of people at Squeenix left, Square Enix. And that was Yoshinori Yamagishi and Isamu Kamikokuryo. I'm going to say that. Kamikokuryo. So they have both left the company.
I was such a big fan, too. What did they do?
Yamagishi produced Star Ocean and Valkyrie Profile.
Oh, shit. Okay. Wow. Yeah, that is a big deal.
And then I'm going to say this again. Kamikokuryo gave Final Fantasy 13 trilogy, Final Fantasy 15, and The Third Birthday. So both of them resigned so that they can move on to new projects.
What did he do on 15? He wasn't the producer of 15. That was somebody. That was
he was art director.
Oh, interesting. I guess that may be just a situation of he had another job that he wanted to take somewhere else or what have you. Probably not a because if I hear about departures related to 15, I kind of go, I raise an eyebrow a little bit, like, but speaking of fucking games I need to play, did you know the whole Gladio thing came out this week? I haven't even got a chance to touch that yet.
I have a feeling that they're all doing this sort of Ayn Rand-esque Atlas Shrugged thing where all of the best developers go move to their own island and then just do menial work. Okay, and by the way, Atlas Shrugged was a crappy book. But it has become my example for people bringing themselves out of the limelight and leaving their jobs.
I'm really curious to hear who's going to get put on Final Fantasy 16. Because you know it's coming. You?
They're going to have me do it.
Calamity Jamie
presents. I'm just going to be like, that character needs more straps on his shorts. And one leg should be longer than the other. And there need to be more buckles on the shirt. Also, he needs to look very, very pretty.
Also, Eris will be back so I can kill her again.
This guy needs bigger fro because I'm thinking of what's his face from 13?
Saz.
That had the Saz. Bird.
Yeah.
And this one needs a bird cage in his fro. Like, kind of like a pre-French Revolution-esque wig that had all of that stuff in there.
Yes, yes.
This guy needs to be gay. He's so gay.
Okay.
That's me as a game designer. I'd be a good character designer.
There are rumors, and this could just be fan wank, but there's some rumors that Naoki Yoshida could be the one that ends up doing 16, and it's his reward for basically saving the fucking franchise. Because Naoki Yoshida is the one that did Final Fantasy 14 A Realm Reborn.
Oh.
So he's the one that took 1.0 and then made the new 2.0 and basically saved the entire fucking day. So there's rumors that he's going to, I mean, they're just rumors. There's rumors that he's going to get to do a single player Final Fantasy game. And
that would be huge.
I'd be huge, and I would be really fucking excited if that's the case. I mean, I would hope that 14 gets left in good hands while he has time to go do that. Mm-hmm. But I would be really fucking excited about that if that happened.
Oh, and yes, Raginator, one character will have more strap-ons.
Oh, God. Moving on. Speaking of Final Fantasy XIV, gosh, it wasn't supposed to be a segue, but it worked out. Final Fantasy XIV has expanded the free trial program. So you can now, if you've never played Final Fantasy XIV before, you can now play up to level 35, as opposed to level 20. You can play up to level 35 with no time restriction now. So you're not limited to 14 days. You can play as long as you want. However, you do not get to join free companies. You can join parties and link shells, but not free companies. So, yeah, you can check that out. That is all, of course, to try to get more pre-orders in for Stormblood. Stormblood will be coming out over the summer.
Those free companies ain't free.
But what's also interesting, the move that 14 is making, is that once Stormblood comes out, they are not going to sell the Heavensward expansion any longer. It will just be looped right into the base game. This took Blizzard some time to do with World of Warcraft, although, to be fair, I believe they do it now. I believe there's Legion, and there's everything up to Legion. So, but for a while, you kind of had to buy like two or three expansions to get current.
Yeah, you did.
But yeah, you won't have to do that with Final Fantasy 14, so that's pretty cool. And they're not going to like suddenly charge you more money or anything. Like, it's just going to be Heavensward will just be included in the cost of the base game. It's just all right there. So that's pretty cool.
Not bad. Not bad.
Speaking of Final Fantasy, a new series is coming to Netflix. And yes, this actually is coming to North America, but it's supposed to be something that's starting in Japan. It's called Final Fantasy Daddy of Light. Now, here's the thing, because we can make a lot of jokes about Daddy of Light.
BioShock?
No, I think it's just a translation thing. Don't take the name too literally, you guys.
Too late.
So here's the thing. It actually is inspired by a blog that was kept by a father and son where they were actually playing Final Fantasy 14 together, but it helped their own relationship out in that they were kind of getting to bond. So it was like they played this game, but they were bonding through the game, and so it was helping them in real life function as father and son a little more. So I think it's an interesting story. So it's not directly about Final Fantasy 14, but Final Fantasy 14 plays like a key role in the whole storytelling thing. So that's kind of neat. So yeah, you can, there is a trailer out there if you want to check that out. Yeah, Netflix Japan will get this April 20th. Netflix stateside will get it this fall.
I definitely am interested.
Yeah, I'd like to check this out, too. You may not know, but Netflix does translate a lot of their shows mm-hmm. in for other countries. So the fact that it's happening this way, too, is kind of awesome. Cool. Really yeah, great. So that Netflix Japan's getting this. Although, actually, in Japan, MBS and TBS are getting this in Japan as well. It's not only a Netflix thing. So pretty neat. Anyway, one more thing for you guys, then we'll get to the classic game of the week. Let's talk about Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. There is a new pack available this week, which you can actually buy this online. You can buy now a multiplayer voiceover pack featuring Method Man. That's right. The rapper, producer, and actor dials up the intensity, updating you on killstreaks, enemy activity, and adding some extra flavor to every multiplayer firefight. And so you can actually check out what... there's actually like a YouTube where you can check out some of this.
Yeah, you earned that. Thor, in position for their submission. The Atomizer Strike, waiting for your word, homie. Hey, yo, my G, you got a drone package at your discretion. That means whenever you want to use it. Gun game.
Okay, so if you want Method Man barking in your ear at every corner, you can do that. The other pack you can check out is a UK Special Forces voiceover pack, which is Craig Fairbrass as Ghost from Modern Warfare 2.
Let's get to work.
Care package loaded up and waiting for your mark.
Nice.
Remote uplink successful. Well, that went pear-shaped, didn't it?
That...
I would like to... I just want to offer my services to Activision for a Rob Roberts expansion pack for Call of Duty. And I think if you guys want this to happen, you could actually tweet at Activision and let them know you would actually pay $2 for a Rob Roberts voice pack for Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. Let me give you a little preview. You ready?
Thank you. I was just going to say, what the hell would you say?
Run, bitch! Don't you know that bitch is shooting at you? Get the hell out of here!
Aim for the head. Aim for the head. We dropped you some shit. Use it when you want.
Oh,
Oh my God.
Let's see. JD says $2 sold and I don't even play shooters. Kaijudo says I'd pay $5 for that. ActDev says I'd buy the game for that. Tiger Claw says Rob saying that's gross. Now that would be my mom. Then she could be a whole nother pack of that. Oh my God, that's gross. Did you just did you threw the grenade? That is gross.
Should get my mother in it doing the angry Spanish translation pack.
Now that I'd buy, getting cursed at in Spanish. Oh my God.
Mira! Get the wasses! Corre allá! Carajo! Oh yeah! Oh please!
I just think about what that's my great. Mom would be like.
But if it's featuring the true Spanish household parent, then shouldn't the chancla be a weapon? Yes.
We've just alienated the entire listening crowd, but it does not matter because I know what he meant.
Look. I know how to fucking pay attention when my friends talk about the childhood.
Yes! I didn't know what that was until I moved out here too.
Yeah,
but I guarantee you, in the South, the equivalent would be. Take your switch. It'd be that belt coming off.
No, I didn't know about it until I saw Victoria beating her then boyfriend with the chancla. And it was actually saying, like, do you want to get the chancla? Do you want to get it? And I was like, the fuck? And she explained to me the whole thing. So.
Oh, this is right. Great.
That's great.
Chancla as a DLC weapon. Holy shit. That's incredible.
All right. And as
oh, my God.
ActDef, by the way, who is our listener in Mexico, is just eating this shit up in chat right now, by the way, just so you know.
What's up, ActDef?
ActDef says, fear the chancla. I almost bought my friend a shirt, the same friend, like a shirt that actually had the... And for those that don't know, this is weird. You usually hear them called thongs. Because like the beach... Flip-flop. Thongs.
Flippy-floppies.
But when I hear thong, I think of butt floss. So...
Yeah.
But the flippy-flop shoes. But if you didn't know, you could actually beat somebody with those. And it hurts a lot. So...
Because it's just...
Whack! So like, yeah, exactly.
It's the same thing like getting hit with a belt too, except the belt's leather.
Yep.
Just consensual, please, if you're going to get into that. All right.
Mm. Anyway. Don't be a bad kid.
Anyhow, where were we? Oh, yes, Method Man for Call of Duty Infinite Warfare.
I would play that. That would make it fun.
Start tweeting. Why can't we do our own voice packs for these games? Why not remember, if you were not aware of this, there is an OLR expansion pack for Typing of the Dead on Steam. We're actually in the shop. Yeah, it was something we did for our 600th episode. We actually put out, there's like an OLR DLC thing. It's free because it's all through the workshop.
Yeah.
And so you can download, and it's all like fucking years old inside jokes from this show, like Cylon occupied Caprica and jokes that aren't even funny anymore, like that you can type in into the as the
but I hope so, Iraqi suicide babies isn't on there.
I think it is.
Oh, God.
Which is again before Tumblr reports us, it just goes back to the match game from long time ago. So anyway,
so Propel better be one.
All right.
Can I do a game, Rob?
Yes, let's get to the classic game of the week. Before Method Man was out of diapers, actually, we would take a trip back to a classic time when video games were a little bit different, and there was no voice expansion packs for games. If you didn't like the voices in the game, too bad. You would do what everybody on Twitch does nowadays and just recite back the words that were on the screen in your own voices. That's what people on Twitch do when they play old RPGs.
Or you did it in your head.
That's right.
Because you could read without reading aloud.
All right, here it is. The classic game of the week. Dark Soccer, what'd you pick for us?
Well, with all this Persona 5 coming out and everyone losing their shit about it, I decided to give people a hint into what even led to Persona. And it was an RPG back on the Super Famicom called Shin Megami Tensei If. Which is... It's in the Megami Tensei series, but this is the first RPG of its type in the series that led to the Persona series. So this game came out in 1994 for the Super Famicom, which was over here at the Super Nintendo, and it is of course a spin-off of the Shin Megami Tensei series. It's been ported to mobile devices. There's a PlayStation port, there's a port on Windows, and there is a digital version for the Virtual Console. Basically, it follows a student at Karukozaka High School
After their school gets sucked into a realm of demons by a vengeful student's demon summoning spell gone wrong. And so it has a really, it focuses on like a smaller environment, so within the school and its areas. And it actually was really decently received. And of course, it had print adaptations. It had a prequel to it, a mobile prequel. And the high school setting basically is what led to the spinoff Persona series. So, know your roots. So, basically, you will take the role of a protagonist. It's an unnamed male student, or you can play a female student named Tameki Uchida. That's in the later series. You basically have to explore the school while it's all demon infested and these different towers that are based on the seven deadly sins. And then you have this little wrist mounted device called Comp, and you fight demons in the turn based battle system. You have physical and magical attacks, healing attacks, status ailments. It's an RPG, I mean, really. But you can also recruit demons in it and bring them into your party. You also can get other human companions. And then when your player or your other human dies, they get a guardian spirit who can revive them at the last save point and teach them new skills and stuff like that. So the game, I mean, and the big reason I'm bringing it up is because we now are on our fifth installment of the Persona series, all coming from Shin Megami Tensei, which I've done as a previous classic game. But this one here, I think that this one is the one to pay attention to. When it came out, it actually was said to have really dated graphics for its time. I mean, this is 1994. I thought it was okay. But it does kind of look like it's not the best quality-wise. But the game itself was so decently received and really opened the door to those future games. So the other thing about it, too, is that its working title is called Shin Megami Tensei X. It was where they created that partner system where you could have, you know, basically creating that with multiple different characters in it. And then they had a lot more that they wanted to do for it. So, of course, a lot of the stuff that was left on the cutting room floor made it into future games. And some of the music in the game actually had lyrics written for it. But you don't hear the song in the game. You only hear, like, a line of it in the game. And then it really was supposed to bring in the theme of reincarnation as it's been. It was supposed to be something that was part of the Shin Megami Tensei series, but didn't have much representation. So that you could keep enjoying the game after you died in battle. And you also had lifeboats for people who die in battle. It was kind of interesting. The other thing that's cool is if you are a Japanese baseball fan, three of the characters in the games were named after pitchers for the Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters. So, which is actually like one of the three baseball teams I know about over there. There's like them, the Bay Stars, and the Yakult Swallows, which I think is also funny that they're called the Swallows because you drink Yakult. Go fig. Anyway, there was one of the characters, Akira, his transformation was based off of Devilman, if anyone's ever seen that. It was by the guy who did Cutie Honey. It was a dude who gets basically turned into a demon. So, Go Nagai, that was his name. And, you know, another character was based off of a character from Blackjack. There, you know, so there's lots of influences from just general anime and pop culture and sports history all thrown into the game. So it came out on October 28th, 1994 and had a re-release on December 26, 2002 for PlayStation. I almost leaked the PlayStation version, but I wanted the SNES music. So the music though did for the PlayStation one is actually pretty good. So there are, of course, like I said, there's ports on it of it for Virtual Console for Wii and Wii U. I think Japan only, of course. There was a Microsoft Windows for the iRevo PC in 2006. And then there's an Android and iOS version that came out in 2013. And that is also the first mobile version of the game. And then there came another game on April 22nd, 2004 called Shin Megami Tensei If Hazama's Chapter. And that was for the FOMA 900i mobile phones, and it's a prologue to this game. So it basically is whatever the character Hazama did right before the incident went down. And they offered a limited edition ROM cartridge. Oh, sorry. They wanted to do a limited edition ROM cartridge of the game, but their budget did not let it happen. So basically, after this, like I said, there were many, many other iterations of the story that came out. There was the manga, which was Shin Megami Tensei If School of the Demon Messenger. There actually got translated into French. There was another manga that was Shin Megami Tensei Khan. And then there was Shin Megami Tensei If Jin of Makai. So basically, a lot of, you know, the big thing is that the settings for the game, the high school setting and some of the mechanics that were introduced in this game are what led to Persona. And so this right here is your Persona progenitor. And if they hadn't branched out and made this spinoff, there'd probably be no Persona. And that's your classic game.
All right. I'm sure a lot of Persona fans, though, probably check this out in an emulator at some point just to see, you know, what it's all about.
I will point this out. Apparently, accessories and outfits from this game have been featured in Shin Megami Tensei Imagine, and it will be available as downloadable content for Shin Megami Tensei Persona 5.
Nice.
So.
All right. Shin Megami Tensei If, the classic game of the week. A little bit thematic there. We're going to take a quick break, though. We got more Orange Lounge Radio to come. We're only halfway there. You ready? No, I'm just kidding. We're gonna speed up part B a little bit, I think, so we can get through the show at a decent hour tonight. But we are going to get to your calls as well at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. You guys are going to hang out a little longer with us here? Gabe, Bree, and Studio a little longer with us. We'll dish a little more about the upcoming event and maybe what else is in store for IGDI. I want to pick your brain on what else we might have to look for. I know you probably can't see much past next week right now, but if you want to throw us anything, what else we have to look forward to, we'll talk about that. When we come back from a break here at Orange Lounge Radio, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, episode number 682 of our show for this April the 2nd of 2017. Rob Roberts in studio with you, with Dark Sakura, not Loki tonight, he's off for the night, but with us in studio, of course, Gabe and Bree from the Sacramento chapter of the IGDA, that is International Game Developers Association.
Whoop, whoop.
Right? Did I get it right?
Yay.
Yes, sir.
All right. And, of course, the Indie Arcade event is coming up this Saturday. When do doors open? 10 also as well?
Yes. So this Saturday, doors open at 10 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
Online ticket sales end Monday night at midnight.
Oh.
So save $5. Get them online if you're local here in Northern California. It's only $10 right now.
So, JD, get your ticket if you haven't already got it.
If mm-hmm. you're a student save listening, money. College, high school, whatever the case may be, it's only $5 for you. And
oh, cool.
Kids under 12 are free.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
You're going to, I hope you don't get the Duggar family showing up with, like, you know, 20
All
kids.
All 20 of them, yeah. Plus their grandbabies.
Like, I think they live far, far away, so you should be fine.
Yes.
So, video games are probably against their religion anyway. So, all right.
Yeah. So in addition to SAC Indie Arcade, you know, we've got developers coming from all over the country. We even have some people coming in from Puerto Rico, which is
Whoa.
Weird. Yeah.
That's great.
Singapore. Yep. So it's going to be a great time, whether you're a casual gamer, hardcore gamer, young gamer, old gamer. We've got something for everyone. Of course, OLR is going to be in the house as well.
The most important thing? I'm just kidding.
Our VIPs, we got to make sure you guys are taken care of.
Oh,
and
please.
One of our offshoots of IGDA Sacramento, Square One Clubs, is actually getting ready to open here in Sacramento. They are a co-working space focused on growing the video game development industry here in Sacramento. And so they sponsored our Progressive Game Jam for the 2016-2017 season. We're going to have a special little section for them. If anyone's familiar with the game jams, usually it's kind of like a hackathon that takes place over a weekend. Our game jam has taken place over the course of 9 months. So you'll get a chance to play demos of games developed in a 9-month period.
Can you tell us a little more about like this? Because this shared space thing seems to be this growing trend I see in the tech industry. Because I notice, when you guys invited me, which thanks again by the way to host the T-Cubed event that with those guys, we talked a little bit about the success they've had. And if you guys don't know the T-Cubed thing, they're not a video game per se. They're more one of those like tangible games. It's an actual cube that I get the easiest way I can say is tic-tac-toe in a cube, but it's more complex than that. But you got to trust me on it. Mm-hmm. Come play it at Indie Arcade because I'm sure they're going to be there.
Yeah.
But that was at that Hacker Lab, which is more of like a computer development space. But they also have the gentleman from T-Cubed had talked about, he'd actually crafted some of those cubes there at Hacker Labs. They actually have industrial like that type of technology and stuff too, right? Mm-hmm. So this space, this Square One, you said
Square called? One Clubs.
I can't help but think of the TV show, which is awesome, by the way. I don't know if you remember growing up, Square One.
Yeah.
On PBS. Yeah, thank you. MathNet.
Okay, I didn't even have to think. Oh, that's...
You gotta go now.
Square One, they used to play in homeroom.
I know. Now you're not... Okay. I'm gonna work on that. But tell me a little more about what, like, a collaborative space, like, means.
So, collaborative spaces in general really invite the community, people from different, disciplines, mm-hmm. to come and work together. You can either work in an office or work in the general area. And it's kind of like being in a coffee shop, but not. So your membership provides access to internet, printers, you know, beverages that may be in the area. I think what's really going to define Square One Clubs as opposed to the other spaces in Sacramento is that we plan to have a studio. So if there's anybody who would like to broadcast from there, they'll be able to come and use that facility. It's going to be focused around
roll out the orange carpet? I think we're going to have to come on and crash your facilities.
Yes, we invite Twitch streamers, podcasters, anyone who wants to come and check that out, voiceover talent who may want to record something for
Call of Duty.
Yes, yeah, for that DLC.
Reach out to Marissa.
Yes. Oh my gosh, Marissa, our pal. And, who does the legit stuff?
It's going to be a very unique space. And of course, we're going to welcome other types of software developers and such. But the Sacramento game development community is finally going to have a place to call home. We've been bouncing around from co-working space to co-working space. And we invite everybody to come in once doors open. And you guys will definitely be the first to know.
Are you allowed to disclose where it is yet? Or is that still secret?
It's going to be located in East Sacramento.
Like what part? I'm just curious.
Like... really close to your studio.
Really?
Really.
Is it the space that SafePoint was going to go into?
No.
Okay, all right. I'm just curious. Because I know that was a contested space for a little bit. So, okay. All right. Oh, I'm excited. Yay. Okay. But I just want to point out, Brie, I do love the name, but I'm going to play this for you, and now it ain't ever leaving your head.
Okay?
And
bring
this
it.
Is whenever you walk through the doors of your shared space.
Oh, man.
It's so 90s.
I know, right?
This was high school.
It was like, no, Brie, you don't understand. It was like sketch comedy about math. I don't think there is...
Sometimes they do kids' news.
I don't think there is a nerdier thing in existence than Square One Television. There really is not. I mean, it was sketch comedy, and it was all math jokes.
Which, me being a number cruncher, I should appreciate something
like
that.
Yeah, you need... I don't know if PBS, like, fucking sells this stuff on DVD to raise money, because if, you know, 45 tries to gut, they're gonna have to... Go deep into the archives to figure out how to keep the lights on over there. So you might be able to get Square One on Blu-ray. So I encourage you to get on that and catch up on MathNet, because they did this whole parody of that cop show Dragnet, but it was MathNet, and they used math to solve crimes. I shit you not. It was like, no, I'm sad. I ain't fucking with you. When I was 10 years old, that was like the highlight of my Friday, was that MathNet was going to come to a fucking conclusion that Friday, and we would find out who fucking stole the baseball or whatever the crime was they were trying to solve that night.
Oh my
anyway.
God. That is...
Dr. Tatsuya points out, also MathMan, the Pac-Man clone, but with math problems.
Yes. I remember that. Oh my heavens.
Okie dokie. Okay. So let's see. Gosh, anything else? Quickly, I know these spaces, this shared space is going to be awesome. I'm so, like, just the networking is going to be amazing there. We have to figure out, like, as some type of, I'm just going to, like, totally invite ourselves. Okay, ready? As some type of, like, inaugural event, I think us and the game bang. And whoever else, it sounds like I'm making fun. I'm totally not. I love those guys.
No,
they're so fucking talented.
Their name.
Their studio is fucking off the hook, too. Like,
yeah,
that,
it's a nice studio.
I thought we were crazy in our house, but, like, that guy, they did some work. But what was I going to say? And whatever other Sacramento podcast I'm not thinking of right now need to all come do, like, a super show to, like, kick that place off. I think that would be a fun thing to do.
That's a great idea.
Can I just give some props, though, to our Sacramento gamer community as a whole? Because last week was huge. Sactown Magazine published two articles, one about Square One, one about Sac Indie Arcade. Energy, the esports team co-owned by one of the Sacramento Kings, they had a halftime show with gamers playing games on the big screen and everything. Yeah. I mean, collectively, everyone getting together to make something happen, like, we're getting attention here to our area, to our neck of the woods, and I think everyone should be so proud.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is, I feel like we've kind of, like, literally watched this grow from you guys being here 2 years ago promoting for what was for us the first event into this. Now it's like, oh my God, what's this going to look like in 2020? What's going to look like? And of course, probably Bree is starting to get a increased heart rate thinking about 3 years down the line. But, all right. Let's see. Yeah, Brad from Pop Culture says you obviously haven't seen our studio. No, I mean, I've seen pictures. Some of y'all are really dedicated to your craft. Not that we aren't. I'm just saying, it's just, like, I'm really impressed when I went over, because I did their show. It was a while ago now. It was probably about a good 6 months ago. It was right around the time they were here. I did their show, and I remember walking in their room. Have you been over to their studio?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, you went full conversion. You committed here. Like, in our place, it's like, it's still kind of half a living room. Like, if I ever had grandma over or something, I could, like, put draperies on things and things would be hidden. Like, so it wouldn't be so obvious that fucking nerds are here. But, like, that was full on commit, like, in their space. So props to them. All right. Anyhow, we want to move on. We got to get to some release dates, talk about what's coming up in stores this week, and we're going to get to our mailbag as well. So, Dark Sakura, what's coming up in stores this week?
On the 7th, we have in the U.S., we have Atelier Furious, The Alchemist and the Mysterious Journey on PC, PS4, PS Vita, Lego Worlds for Windows, PS. You know, I'm looking at March. Rob, I'm sorry.
Oh.
It's April.
That's okay. And of course, the 1 minute I look the other way to go look at something else.
Okay. On the 4th, Drawn to Death, Parappa the Rapper Remastered, Persona 5, Lego City Undercover. On the 5th, Paradigm. And on the 7th, Bulletstorm Full Clip Edition. Ooh.
Lego City Undercover was spectacular. So. Love that game on Wii U.
And now that I have to completely reevaluate all of my life choices, let me go back and double check the UK. And on April 4th, we have Enter the Gungeon. And on the 7th, Bulletstorm Full Clip Edition.
You're just now getting Enter the Gungeon over in the UK? That's a fun game.
No, it's a re-release.
Oh, okay.
It's like a remastered one. They just, because it was also on the American releases, as I just said.
Sorry about that.
I hear you.
Well, let's go to Japan. Right now, get on a plane.
BRB.
Over in Japan. Now, this is interesting. There's not a really huge game release that I see anyway on the PlayStation 4 this week, but they are getting an actual Kingdom Hearts 15th anniversary PlayStation 4. So, like, you can actually get the system, and it's decked out and all the little symbols. It doesn't, like, have a giant Sora or anything, but it's got all the little symbols and all that stuff on it. So that's a really nice looking piece of technology. Vita doesn't really have anything this week either. I think it's kind of a slower week over in Japan. We don't really we have some type of cover on the Nintendo Switch, but I don't really see a lot of game releases this week. It seems to be just a slower week over in Japan. There's one isolated release on the 3DS, kawaii pet to kuroso wan nyan and mini mini animal, which
kitties.
It's all. It's not just kitties. I mean, there's definitely
but you
nyan
said
in there.
Nyan.
Well, there's definitely a nyan right there, front
it's
and center.
It's something like cute animal something.
It's cute. Oh god, this is so fucking adorable. I can't. It's like Nintendo dog, cat.
Is that a chinchilla?
That is a bunny, a chinchilla,
a hedgie,
a squirrel, and an otter.
There's a hedgie up there.
So fucking cute. So that clearly they cleared the release calendar for 2 weeks because everybody's going to be playing that. All right. So that's it for release dates. How about the mailbag? We're going to get to our mailbag. And just so you guys know, we did cut out rapid fire news tonight. We are trying to end at a decent hour tonight. And our first half was a little more than half. So we are cutting a few corners here tonight just to make sure we wrap up the show in a timely manner because some of us have to work tomorrow. So we're going to get to the mailbag this week. You guys send us emails. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place where you can send us emails.
Holy balls.
Do we get a really long email?
Yeah.
Well, is it just one, though?
No, you have two others.
Okay.
I don't know if they're long. Salutations from across the pond.
I might have read this last week. Check the date.
Okay, the 27th.
Is it James Nighthawks?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, I read his already.
Then delete them when you're done, Rob.
I don't know how.
Did you also read AZHP's?
No.
Fine. Okay. Hey, well, this one's long, too. Hey, OLR, AZHP here. I'm currently listening to last week's podcast where you all talk about Mass Effect Andromeda. Guess what? We did it this week, too. And notice that Rob describes Andromeda as being a game that could have been a 10 out of 10, whereas Zelda is considered by that to be many, if not for the glaring technical issues. I feel that Andromeda is a good game that leans too heavily on previous Mass Effect games for its structure and setup to be a true 10 out of 10 masterpiece. Rob's story about the transgender character blurting out, "I'm transgender," and Loki saying, "I think they were just trying to check a box," sums up my feeling about the game. It feels like a paint-by-numbers game across the board. I'm only a few hours in, but the Pathfinder concept seems like they attempted to fast-forward the human specter concept from the first game. It's immediately obvious who your future squad mates will be and what their loyalty missions will be. Not really. One per colony ship. And a lot of writer's dialogue options make me feel like I made the wrong choice after picking it. Because he sounds so snide and just reiterates, "I'm the Pathfinder, and we got this," instead of being a closer to a reflection of what I, the player, wanted to choose as it was in the previous games with Shepard. For the record, Lady Rider doesn't sound like that. She sounds sincere. I don't think that more time with the game would have made it a 10 out of 10. It would have just made it the same 7 to 8 out of 10 game without animation bugs and scripting errors, which at the very least are entertaining to see. In a world where this was the first Mass Effect game, this game would have been an amazing achievement, even 10 out of 10. But coming off of the first three, and for me personally having loved those games, to have this be the long-awaited sequel just falls a little flat to me. Finally, and sorry for the length of the email, now you say it.
hey, be nice Arts. To the participants.
Rob noted that he hopes that the poor reception to the unfinished nature of the game would not stop a sequel to the game. EA has noted in interviews that they think of Andromeda as a standalone game with no planned sequel. I can't find a direct source on this aside from Jeff Gertzman, who has been covering video games for the last 21 years and who I consider a reliable source in the games press.
I just want to say to that real quick, I understand that PR put that out there. That doesn't mean I believe it. Like I'm really going to believe that they're going to let the Mass Effect cachet go. Come on.
Mentioning that he heard this from a press contact.
Yeah.
This, of course, does not preclude the sequel from being greenlit, but my guess is that not having plans to make this into another trilogy, along with a tepid response from critics and players, would push them in the direction of not making one. Sorry again for the long email. Just wanted to add my voice to the show and see what you all think. Yours truly, AZHP.
I'm curious. I welcome the opinion, and honestly, what's interesting about it is AZHP sounds like he's in a place somewhat similar to where I was at a week ago. So I'm curious, how much time did AZHP spend with the game since writing that email, and have the opinions changed at all? Because the more time I spend with the game, my impression does get more favorable. I think is important to put out there. Not that that's going to be the same for everybody, and certainly, you know, it's the show where every gamer has a voice, and there are going to be some people that feel that Mass Effect gets no stronger than a 7 or 8, and that's fine. You know, and even if I was saying last week, this is probably still the case, although I think at the end of the day I'm going to enjoy Andromeda, and I probably would say Mass Effect Andromeda is probably going to be better than 1, I'm not sure. I mean, I have to beat it to really know, but I'm not sure it's going to outpace 2 or 3. I still think when all is said and done, 2 and 3 are going to be better games for me. But, like, I don't have the flaming hate boner that Twitter seems to have for this game in some regards. That's the only thing that's, like, concerning me a little bit is that there's a lot of haterade out there.
My biggest hate was the character creation. I mean, really. But, like, I even sent, like, a positive tweet to BioWare saying that I really loved the rendering of fabric textures in the game. Because with my new graphics card, I can see the leather looks like fucking leather. The vinyl looks like vinyl. Canvas looks like canvas. And to me, a lot of times you can find a rendered game. It takes a lot of work to render texture that well. And so I was super impressed with that. I mean, graphically, it's an amazing game.
I do want to make sure we point out at some point, too, because I don't think it's come up on the show yet, but BioWare has said they're going to be releasing some details. I think it was April 4th, so like Tuesday, I think it was. They're going to be releasing additional details about what the future of Andromeda will look like, and a big part of it is addressing some of the concerns that have come out on Twitter. So,
like how the Turians are going to eat?
We don't know. Like, we don't know what they're going to address. Could it be a DLC announcement? Could it be a free patch announcement? Are they going to do something like they did with the extended cut for 3? I don't know. We won't know till the next show.
Want them to put out a deluxe upgrade for those of us who are strong-armed into buying the regular version.
Okay. That would be a nice thing to do.
So the last email, it's called Shane. Hello, OLR. Given recent gaming and movie releases, I feel like we are missing someone's input. Any chance Shane will chime in on the show tonight with his thoughts on Andromeda, Power Rangers, or the Switch in Breath of the Wild? Answer, no. Unless he calls. I know this seems a bit of an odd request, but I miss the sassy molassy. Sincerely, Osfer. Shane, call. Please. And that's it. Dun, dun, dun.
Fill time, because I'm actually texting Shane right now, but I believe they are taping Ranger Pride right now.
Well, what's he doing that for? Well, here's some stuff. Speaking of Zelda, there are is apparently going to be a patch for Breath of the Wild, just a little update, but it's supposed to just make it more pleasant. Like, what the fuck does that mean? Not really anything perceptible. And, of course, the Parappa of the Rapper soundtrack got re-released in Japan. If some people who are in Japan right now... Oh, wait, they're not in Japan anymore. Never mind.
Yes, Spike has left, and Christy is now on her way over here, so...
She's already over here.
So, I was checking with Shane.
Well, I could go ahead and also speak of another thing. That there's going to be free DLC for Super Bomberman R. And that M2 is handling the Seiken Densetsu port. So that's also good too, right?
Yeah, actually, that is great because those other ports they did were good. I still want to know if they're going to retranslate Seiken Densetsu 3. Did you hear about this, by the way, Jamie? Seiken Densetsu collection on the Switch. So it's 1, 2, and 3, but it's only confirmed for Japan right now.
Well, it'd be nice if we got it over here. I mean, I really like Seiken 3. Of course, I also liked Secret of Mana. The later games were not so much. But, well, if you would like, I can also move on to one other story.
Yes, and just so you know, Shane is signing on Skype right now. I guess they're done with Ranger Pride. Just so you know, Captain Spike was in Japan, so they have not got to talk about the Power Rangers movie yet, which is kind of a big fucking deal, the fact that there's a Power Ranger. Did you see the Power Rangers movie yet?
I want to.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Okay.
I'm starting to agree more with the people that are saying it should have just been a CW TV show. No, like for real, like they're not, some of the CW TV shows are actually like, I really want to check out
CW
Riverdale.
CW gave us Supernatural.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I stopped watching in season 9.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on season 11.
Mm-hmm.
My God.
Can you make sure you have that email up from the person that was requesting?
Can you the email?
Can
already?
You bring it back up real quick?
Sure.
Please. Okay. Cause I'm going to get, Shane on the line here, on the show. If I could, all live radio, but you know what? You want it, you got it. We're willing to give you what you need. Hi, Shane, you there?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Fine, just laying in bed.
Oh, I'm sorry to wake you.
I wasn't asleep. I was typing up my thoughts on Mass Effect.
I bet you have a lot of thoughts on Mass Effect, actually. Are you going to do an article for Vogue?
You asked me, or told me I should. I don't know. I'm just typing random things about it right now.
It's no pressure. Okay, so we have an email this week in our mailbag, Shane, that you needed to hear. Mm-hmm. So is Jamie ready to go with that?
Real quick.
Okay, here we go.
Given recent gaming and movie releases, I feel that we are missing someone's input. Any chance Shane will chime in on the show tonight with his thoughts on Andromeda, Power Rangers, or the Switch and Breath of Wild? I know this seems a bit of an odd request, but I miss the sassy molassy. And that comes from Osfer.
All right, so
I am not sassy or molasses or whatever that was.
Maybe a little molasses, maybe a little bit. All right, so we actually are having a request for your take on this. Now let me start with Power Rangers because I'm sure you're going to talk about this on Ranger Pride. So I don't want to ruin this discussion too much, but give us the quick high level take on Power Rangers.
Hold on, you have to keep stalling for time because I'm switching to my headphones.
Oh, okay. Well, I.
Rob, let's go to the movie theaters that have the cushy seats.
Actually, Shane took me to those theaters. They're really nice.
Well, I need to go and have someone watch that movie with me because Dan sure as fuck won't go.
I will take you to see. God, am I really going to see that again? You should have Shane take you. He'll go for the
seventh time.
Shane,
will you go see Power Rangers with me?
For a fifth time, of course I would.
Awesome.
And then you can take me to see Beauty and the Beast, because nobody will go with me to see Beauty and the Beast.
I will go with you.
Thank you.
But I also need someone to go to see Logan with me.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Is Beauty and the Beast a date movie, Dark Sakura?
Well, it's not like we haven't had friend dates before.
Thank you. Because Shane wouldn't go, because he said it's something I had to take Alan to.
That is exactly what I said. That is correct.
I will be your platonic date.
Thank you. See, you can recognize that you can just be friends and go, and it's fine. Anyway. So, Shane, Power Rangers, what's your quick take? And then we'll make
people
listen
to Ranger Pride. Well, I've seen it four times already, and I just made plans to see it a fifth. I don't really know, like, if much else needs to be said.
All right, fair enough. So stay tuned to Ranger Pride for the rest. Okay, Switch and Breath of the Wild.
I love my Switch. Breath of the Wild is probably my favorite Zelda game, since I already beat it. I didn't get everything in it. But it's a really good game. But the more I reflect on it, even though I still say it's my favorite Zelda game, the more I realize that, like, it feels like there's, like, 2 hours of content in the entire game, and that's really it. But I played it for, like, 60.
Interesting you put it that way. Is that just because, like a big chunk of the game is just finding stuff and exploring, but the game might lend itself really well to speedrunning?
Well, I think it does. I think people are like under an hour in beating it now. And I think it's because it's all open world now. You have kind of less of a path that you have to take. And the stuff in between, like story points, can be as long or as short as you really want it to be.
For the record, the speedrun world record is at 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Naked.
So.
What? Naked?
Naked.
Like the speedrunner was naked?
The character. He's running around in his shorts.
Anyway.
Yeah, because you really wouldn't be collecting any items, really, I would think.
Yeah.
You just have to get all of the first few shrines, and then you can run on right to the castle.
I was like, what kind of speedrunning marathons are they doing these days? All right. So, but you like the Switch overall as a system, too?
Oh, yeah. The Switch is fantastic. I am so glad I have one. And I think it's Nintendo's, like, right step in the right direction for the first time in a long time.
Can you try to give
us... In terms of the consoles.
Can you try to give us the why?
Why? Because it plays to both of their fan bases. I'm more of a handheld person, so I can lay in bed and play my console game just laying down in bed, or I can take it with me. Whereas other people I know still only really use it as a TV device. And so we get to do both things. And now, for me, what's really cool, and I tried this out when they were doing it during the test fire, is that you can, you know, Splatoon 2, I have the capability of making my phone a personal hotspot, so I can make that a wireless go-to for my Switch if I was on the go and play Splatoon online with people.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to the... I know you don't do this stuff as much, but the convention-type stuff where there's going to be, like, several people all with their Switches, and we can all kind of play a game of, like, Mario Kart or Splatoon or something.
Yeah. Or Fast RMX, which is really good. Or Bomberman, which is really good.
I heard they patched that, so I got to try that again post-patch now.
And there's free DLC coming out.
Yeah, I heard about that. I don't know.
Like, somebody must have taken over Konami or something, because Konami's doing some weird stuff.
It's almost like they're on the...
Shade button.
I accidentally closed that tab. All right, that's all right. All right. Okay, so now, all right, everybody get your chairs and your air mattresses. Here we go. Mass Effect Andromeda.
Is amazing. And if I can be, you know, just a little bit critical for a second, like, all the critics that gave it low scores need to go fuck themselves, because it's so good.
Okay, hold on.
You shouldn't have shut that shade button.
No, hold on. You guys need to understand something. Shane doesn't swear, like, ever.
Unless I'm playing Overwatch or Splatoon or games.
No, curse at Splatoon?
No, here's the thing. Like, I'll be like, Shane, it's my birthday. Just give me a good hearty fuck you. And he'll be like, no, I don't swear. He'll be like, I don't do that. Do you see that Shane just very casually dropped the F-bomb there, so he meant it? And now I have it on tape. That's the best part of this.
That's
whole
what
thing.
You can use Congrats. for the voice pack for Call of Duty.
Yes, exactly. So, okay, wow. So, I just want to say, when Shane tells somebody to go fuck themselves, he means it. So you are not happy with the critics here.
I don't understand, like, at all. It feels like, now that I'm done with the game for now, it feels like Mass Effect 1, where the game starts off slow, but, you know, most BioWare starting stories do, and then it ramps up incredibly, and by the end, like, every 10 minutes, my mind was being blown left and right. I was like, oh my god, this is so good, I don't want it to end. And I legit got sad when it was over. I was like, I need DLC now, I need my plans for, I need to hear about the plans for Andromeda 2. Like, I can't do this. I just spent 75 hours on this game, because that's what my total time said, with 96% complete. I'm like, I just need more, like, now.
Do you think the ramp up, I guess, because the game has a bit of a slower ramp up, I guess, and the fact that EA did that 10-hour preview?
I don't think it did. Like, I think that's wrong, too. I don't think it has a slow ramp up, like, compared to other EA games. When Mass Effect, you go play Mass Effect 1 right now, and you tell me, besides the fact that you're shooting guns in the first 10 minutes of the game, basically, how quick that ramp up was. It wasn't at all.
Well, you do meet the antagonist on the first planet, and you get a squad member shot in the first 5 minutes that you think is going to be with you the whole game. I mean,
you do?
I remember
that. They look like fodder to me.
Yeah, well, whatever. All right, whatever. All right. Let's see. What else do I want to ask you about Mass Effect? I mean, we've already spent a lot of time talking about it tonight, so I don't want to spend too much time. Oh, I know. Gabe and I were mentioning before that whole sequence in the vault, in the very, very first vault. And I'm trying to say a little spoiler-free, but there's an escape sequence in that first vault, right?
Uh-huh.
And we thought that was the moment when the game really started to, like, pick up the pace. And that was just like, a graphically stunning, that whole vault, and everything was a really stunning scene. Mm-hmm. And then the kind of, like, the way they did that scene and the pressure that's on you in that scene mm-hmm. was, like, really, really good. And I guess that's the point where the demo cut off, right?
That's before the demo. Or, sorry, that's after the demo cut off. The demo cuts off right before you actually enter the vault.
See, that's why I thought that demo did the game a disservice, too. Because you don't think there was a shift, kind of, when that whole sequence started?
No, because I really, until you get all your squad mates and kind of establish what's going on in this galaxy, I feel like that's all ramp up to me. And so that probably takes a good 20-30 hours if you're doing side quests and stuff like that. And so, yeah, I don't understand.
Right.
It's my favorite game of the year already. It beat Resident Evil 7 finally.
And Zelda? And Zelda?
Zelda wasn't number one already. Oh. Like, when I beat Zelda, I already put it under Resident Evil, because, like, Resident Evil 7 is way better than Zelda.
Okay.
So, now Mass Effect is taking the top honors, and I don't see anything taking that away.
Quickly, we've talked about Mass Effect a lot tonight, so I want to move on.
That's all I like to talk about.
I know. I'll give you one more thing. The multiplayer. Nobody's talking about multiplayer. Do you have any quick takes on multiplayer?
Oh, I love it. It's like multiplayer from 3, except you can jump around, and it leads to some pretty hilarious situations. Like when you're, there was one time I was playing and this guy died, but he was on the other side of the map. And my roommate was watching me play. And the way I got to him, I was just like, because I'm a vanguard, and if you don't know what that is, I don't care. But I was charging across the map to an enemy, and then once I hit the enemy, my focus wasn't on the enemy, it was just to get me over there. And then I jumped, and I dashed to the side, like, sideways, and then I charged another enemy that was directly in front of me, and then I just dashed without jumping to the other side, and I got to the squad mate. And my roommate was like, wow, that looked very... like planned. I was like, well, I knew what I had to do, but yeah, it looked very fluid and like kind of cinematic almost. It was really neat. And the difficulty versus Mass Effect 3 for multiplayer, I think is no joke. Like, I think this is a much harder multiplayer, whatever you want to call it, like just much harder than what Mass Effect 3 was, even on bronze difficulty.
All right. Any other games you want to quickly give a shout out to while you're here?
With the Switch, I finally got to play Shovel Knight. I've never played Shovel Knight until then, and I think it's an amazing game, and if it had come out this year, I probably would put it on my top list as well, but I can't because it came out like 3 years ago or whatever.
Well, you could retroactively change your list from 2014 or whatever.
Nope, that's cheating.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Everybody, if you want to hear more of Shane's opinions on things like the Power Rangers movie, check out Ranger Pride, available. VogNetwork.com has the latest episodes, and of course, they also air here Wednesdays and Fridays. Are we going to maybe see, because Gabe and Bree are here tonight promoting the Indie Arcade event, is there any chance you're going to come out on Saturday maybe, say hi?
I don't know. I feel like I might have something that day. Ugh. Like sleeping.
Boo.
I know, I'm terrible.
Yell at him.
No.
Like, all right.
Or, you know what? I might start my next playthrough of Mass Effect now that I have to chart out how to get 100% and all the choices I want to make.
All right. We didn't want you there anyway. All right.
I didn't want you there.
All right. Bye, Shane. Take care.
Bye.
All right. We'll go ahead and open up the Skype line. I think it's probably a good segue for us to take some more calls. So we'll try to fit in a couple more calls here. Orange Laundry, you okay over there, Bree? Don't take him seriously. He's just a... Yeah, all right. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to give us a call, or 1-877-GAME-OLR if you want to do it the old-fashioned way. And, of course, Gabe and Bree are here as well. If you have any questions about game development, tonight is a great night for those types of questions. I do want to give a couple quick shout-outs here before we jump right into the phone lines with some news. Speaking of game development, how many of y'all out there using Unity? Use Unity for your stuff?
I am, as a matter of fact.
Did you hear about this? 5.6 Unity is going to be bringing native Nintendo Switch support into Unity. So obviously Nintendo Switch is a new opportunity for folks. There's already, now Unity can already support Nintendo Switch. Super Bomberman, Snipper Clips, those were already on Unity, but there's going to be more support, or like native support, I guess, for Nintendo Switch available with Unity. These other games were created on an older version of Unity, which was not native, but that's just going to make it easier. So
very much.
So yes. That's going to be awesome. So, all right, let's see. That is what's happening with Unity 5.6. Let's go to the phones. It's lighting up right now. Let's take a call. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi, this is Ray. Sorry, got a little feedback there.
That's okay.
This is Ray Junior.
Hey, buddy, what's on your mind tonight?
Not much. I'll try to make this short and sweet because your show is already running long as it is.
Well, you know.
Actually, I was going to call in about some sales that I've noticed that I think a lot of your listeners may like to know about.
Wait, I got to ask you. Wait. Because you're all up on all this stuff. Here's the one I really want to know about. I heard something that GOG.com was taking like old CD serial keys and you could put them in GOG.com. Is that true or is that an April Fool's joke?
Yes and no. There's a very limited selection of games that you can do that with. I can't remember all that is included. I think at least one or two of the old Stalker games you can do that with. But, like I say, it's very, very limited.
That's still better than a sale because that's getting to use something I already own from like 10 years ago. So that's awesome. So I just want to make sure I was out there.
What's even better is that, I think your show has mentioned it before some time ago, but last year they introduced a service called GOG Connect, where you tie your Steam account to your GOG account, and every so often they'll, if they can work out deals with the publisher, if you got such and such game on Steam, you get the GOG version for free.
Yeah, I had that happen with something I owned, so that was pretty cool.
Even that they really haven't done a whole lot with lately. It kind of comes and goes in spurts. You're more likely to see something happen with that right around the time they have the major seasonal sales.
I steered you off course a little bit. What sale did you want to talk about tonight?
Unfortunately, these sales that I'm about to mention are going to probably be expiring on Monday.
Well,
so,
God damn it, Rageinator. What am I going to do with that?
Fortunately, those that catch the show on the podcast feed, sorry, guys.
Let's hear about everything you missed. There's probably all these great deals that you fucking missed because you're not here live.
They had sales on, some of the adventure games, like the Myst series. In fact, I picked up like the original Myst, Riven, the sequel, and Myst 5. Excuse me, Myst 5. Over the past day or two, right off the bat, right there. I'm gonna have to look at my account real quick to tell you exactly everything that is or has been on sale. In fact, they had the Deponia games on sale, the Broken Sword series on sale, Back to the Future, Walking Dead series games were on sale.
Oh, there you go. I bet Bree would be, if Bree liked the Wolf Among Us and those other Telltale games, just a matter of time before you get sucked into all the rest of them too.
Yeah,
Telltale's got a pretty good formula.
Even Walking, the Wolf Among Us was on one of the games that's on sale,
nice.
And even LucasArts games like Day of the Tentacle.
Okay, cool.
Yes, in fact, I picked that up. So I mean
now. Here's the thing. If you're like, well, gee, this doesn't do me any good because it's already Monday and I'm listening on the podcast feed. Here's what y'all need to do. You need to set. Y'all got smartphones. Whether you got Android, whether you got iPhone, whether you have a Microsoft phone, I guess. They all have calendars. Okay, so you need to just set yourself a reminder, like every Sunday morning or something. Like if Sunday morning for you is at 1 p.m, then fine. So set yourself a reminder. Check Steam Store. Check GOG. Check, whatever stores you shop on, you got to set yourself a little reminder because otherwise you're going to miss shit. Because all the good deals are on the weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say, yes, I realize that a lot of people out there have day jobs to go to, plus they have to worry about family obligations.
And WrestleMania.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Therefore, you can't spend as much time on the computer as I do. That being said, if all possible, do pretty much like what you suggested, like pick a day and a time during the week. Let's say, for example, Saturday at noon. All right, Saturday at noon, check the storefronts on both services. Then, of course, one thing one thing I tend to follow for information on free giveaways is this one site. It's kind of a news aggregate free giveaways. It's called epicbundle.com. I even follow them on Facebook, and they'll let me know, Origins giveaway, Need for Speed for free, here's a link to it. You can grab that, or Steam's giveaway. The Walking Dead for free. You can grab that here.
So I love this. Comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. ActDev says Rageinator just needs to work for cheap ass gamer at this point. Hitstun says, I watched the Slick Deals front page RSS feed, but that's not just for games. And these are both good tips. Get a Twitter account if you don't already have one. And follow some of these, like, you know, Cheap Ass Gamer. That's their bread and butter is following this type of stuff. And there's other well-known Twitter people out there that like to tweet about the sales and so forth. So get a Twitter account, and that's a good way to stay on top of this stuff, too. Just don't follow creepos. But you can follow us at OLR. You can follow me, my personal account, at Sky, S-K-I-E. I really want to get at Rob Roberts, but a fucking spammer has that right now, so if y'all can report him, I'd appreciate that. You can follow Dark Sakura as well. You can follow Nascent Games. And Bree, you're on Twitter as well, right? Is that a personal or a business? Can I give that out here?
I'm all out there.
You're all out there. Bree, A-E-A.
Yes.
There it is.
And follow Sack Indie Arcade.
Yes. You guys, it's really easy. Because you guys are really good at, like, retweeting all your stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, once you follow one, you'll get all the others.
Yes.
Yeah. So, it's very easy. Very easy. All right, Rage Nader, I got to let you go so we can get more calls.
Sure. Have a nice night.
You too. Take care, buddy.
Yep. You too.
Bye. All right. Everybody in chat room giving out their Twitter handles there. All right. let's see if we can probably squeeze in one more call. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, or 1-877-GAME-OLR. I wanted to make sure we talked about some movies here before we end the show tonight. For one, I know, well, it's a bummer Loki's not here because I know he's looking forward to this, but the Ready Player One film is going to be coming out in 2018. The new release date is March 30th, 2018 for Ready Player One. That is a pushback. It was originally going to be this Christmas, December 15th, in time for the Christmas season. However, if it had not moved, it would have been going up against Episode 8. Yeah. So, by the way, Warcraft movie did the same thing. It had to retreat into March because of Episode 7.
Should have kept retreating, but anyway, what?
Well, yeah, it didn't work so well.
I
for
liked
the movie.
It.
Yeah, there were, honestly, I didn't hate the Warcraft movie. I really didn't. I was expecting to really dislike it, but I was like, it actually really wasn't that bad. Mm. I think they just marketed it wrong. I don't know how
that's
else to definitely
figure
what out what. I think they just really marketed it wrong. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Ready Player One will hopefully do well in 2018 on March 30th. Last call for calls at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. But the other big movie, and I know y'all are excited for this, Wreck-It Ralph 2 has its official subtitle. It's called Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet, starting with Twitter. No, I'm sorry, I threw that in there myself, but we're just kind of hoping that's where he'll start. No, there's a lot of great stuff on Twitter. There's a lot of stuff I really love on Twitter, and people I've really come to know and appreciate on Twitter, but there's a lot of fuckheads on Twitter, too.
Yes.
So, it's just, I hope Wreck-It Ralph comes out, like, I'm gonna wreck it, and takes all those egg icons, and just, or the Mr. Creeper, Ms. Creeper icons.
He takes the egg icons, put them in a blender, and has a protein shake.
That's right. That's right. So there you go. Maybe that'll hit. It's Fix It Felix will fix Twitter. If you know, I what was the tweet I wrote earlier this week? Because y'all know I get sassy on Twitter sometimes. There was a tweet I wrote that said something like, "Congratulations, Twitter, on removing the at replies so that, you know, now you have more characters. Could you next work on removing cyberbullying and abuse?"
I saw that. That was glorious. So, yes.
Honestly, I feel like I feel like that's a recycled joke. That, like, I used that exact same joke the last feature Twitter unveiled. It's like, so how long until we get anyway? Let's see. In chat, they're also talking about movies in chat. Tiger Claw says, "Anyone see Ghost in the Shell this weekend? I thought it was good, yeah, but it didn't do well at the box office. Number 3 with 19 million. Beauty and the Beast at number 2 with 47 million. Do you know what movie was number 1? And I'm sorry, this movie looked awful. Not the Power Rangers. That movie was good. The Boss Baby.
Seriously?
And fucking talking baby movies. It's all those families and shit.
Did you see Get Out?
No, I really wanted
it
to.
It was so good. I would see that again.
I will. God,
even though I know
so
exactly what's going to happen now.
We need to go on movie dates like every night this week. We need to
double feature.
We're going to see Power Rangers. We're going to say, you can't theater hop at the new theaters. Did you know that? It's impossible to theater hop. Because I actually overheard them saying, they were talking to some kids that they ejected. They said, we have sensors in the seats and we sell them by the seats. And so if a seat is being sat in that we didn't sell, we know. And
that's,
I was like,
right, because you picked the seats. You picked the seats when you buy the tickets.
They fucking solved the problem with theater hopping. Those smart assholes.
Unless you sit in the aisle.
I guess, or sit on the ground. Hell no, we won't go. All right. Anyway.
See, I don't know about that, because when Monet and I went to see Get Out,
uh-huh.
there were these people that were totally sitting in the wrong seats, so no one ejected them.
Oh, interesting.
So.
Maybe. I don't know. Because they weren't kids. Anyway, all right, nobody else is calling in on Skype line, so I guess that's going to do it. I guess, you know, WrestleMania and people went to bed, whatever. But you can always email us, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. You can also, well, it is after midnight on the East Coast. You can also send us a tweet at OLR. So we do read them to ourselves, even if we don't always read them on air, because there's just a lot of other stuff. So I always get lost on Twitter, but I do read everything. I'll heart your tweets. I do. So I like hearting tweets. I read it and I liked it. Thank you very much. All right. We got to wrap up tonight. Gabe, Bree, thank you guys so much for being here. It's
thank
always
you.
Fun to have you guys here. No. You guys are so much fun.
Thank you.
Thank you guys, of course, as always. We're grateful for this.
I'm so looking forward to Saturday. I know you guys are working your little tushies off, and I know things are going to go wrong, and it's going to feel like the end of the world, but you know what? You guys are doing such a great thing for Sacramento. Remember, nobody's going to notice the little shit. Somebody's not going to show, you know, something weird's going to happen, but don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. That's right. Do them yoga exercises Saturday morning. Just let it out. Shake it off.
Let it go.
Or the Taylor Swift song, Shake It Off. Shake It Off. All right. But you guys are going to have a fantastic event Saturday. I'm so looking forward to it. And then we can start talking about 2018.
Hell yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, Bree, one more plug. Anything you want to plug? Anything, place we should follow you? All that good stuff.
Sacramento Indie Arcade is coming on Saturday, April 8th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tickets are still available online, indiearcade.org. You can get all the information. Follow us on our social media. We're updating that like every hour. And we welcome everybody. It's a safe space for all. So, you know, come out, hang with us, party with us. It's going to be a great time.
And there's even, speaking of party with us, there's an after party, too. We didn't talk about that tonight, but there's an after party. And it's going to get lit in South Sac, because the after party, I don't know how y'all plan this, the after party is next door to Rocky Horror, which I'm hosting.
Yep.
So, yeah, I gotta somehow do both. I'm going to be in both places at the same time.
We recommend the after party for the 18 and up.
Well, yes, this place also serves alcohol, mm-hmm. and Shane may be there saying the F word at people.
Bring
so,
it, Shane.
Yeah. Love it. All right, Sac Indie Arcade, so looking forward to it. Best of luck with the event and everything. I'm so excited.
Thank you.
Gabe, any plugs you'd like to give?
I mean, the main thing is primarily, as Brianna said, you know, Indie Arcade coming up, you know, this Saturday. You know, ticket prices will be $10 for the rest of the week. It goes up on the day of, so it goes up to $15.
Don't procrastinate.
Yeah, do not procrastinate, Sacramento. You're so addicted to complacency. Stop it. So be sure to come through. Yeah, be sure to come through. Get those tickets early.
If you lived here long enough and you followed the Kings at all, you know you're always going to get fucked in the last quarter.
That is the greatest thing I have heard this entire weekend. So
do not wait until the last quarter,
yeah.
Cuz you're going to get beat.
Yeah, or fouled out, DeMarcus. Anyway, so definitely come through, you know, definitely come through for that. It's going to be another very inspirational event, very memorable event. With joking earlier about Crumple will be out this month. Crossing fingers.
Yay!
This month, I've had to push it back a little bit just because, you know, again, it's just one other guy and myself, and I'm working on Kinship, and I'm working on my, you know, other stuff.
And if you don't make it, you can always just say April Fools.
Right. Next year. Yeah. But, yeah.
You and Loki can start a club.
Right. So, God. Yeah. So, but yeah, if you follow me on Twitter, check out my Twitter page, and you'll be able to see on the pin tweet how to pre-order Crumple. Again, it's just $1 for the pre-order, $2 when it comes out. Episode 2 is already in the works. So, there's a lot of stuff happening this year. So, yeah, it's going to be good. So thank you guys so much. Everything.
Thank you. I'm sure we'll have you back again before the next event. There's always some reason to have our pals on the show here, another event coming up or something like that. So keep in touch, XOXO Hearts.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you soon. We'll see you Saturday. Yes. We'll be broadcasting live. But please come up to the Black Box and say hi on air at some point.
Of course.
Of course. Big hearts. Real quick before we officially sign off, I want to say, of course, as always, thank you very much for checking out our show. We appreciate if you could help us spread the word. Tell a friend or five or 20 about the show, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but without the voices here, we can't hear them. We don't really put ads in the show. We don't really make a lot of money off doing this stuff. We just do it for the fun of it. That also means we don't have a big multi-million-dollar website backing us up or anything like that. We need help. We need word of mouth. So a nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes or Google Podcasts or wherever it is that you found this show, that stuff all goes a very long way as well. I look to my left, ever and always, Calamity Jamie, and her final thought tonight.
Resist.
And my final thought tonight is peeps. Good night, everybody. We will see you in 7 days. Thank you so much.
Girl.
What? That's it. We're done. We're out of here. Well, actually, no, we won't see you in 7 days. We'll see you in 6 days at the SAC Indie Arcade event, and then we'll see you like 8 days after that, because we won't be here live next Sunday. So everybody have a good week off. Support Bobby, who I think will still be live that night, and all those indie podcasts and hardworking individuals out there. Have a great night, everybody. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.